even need a podcast, and they need your help. Can you make it onto the wheel? Rob and Akiva need a podcast. Yeah, they'll buy and sell your ideas. They'll talk about it till you've got it, you'll feel. Every weekend, better attend. You can guess what will be coming up next. Rob and Akiva need a podcast.
Yes, that's right. Rob and Akiva need a podcast, episode number 31, the podcast where we get ideas for episodes from you, the listeners, and we put them on a big wheel, spin it every week, and talk about whatever comes up, and never, ever guess what anybody's weight is anymore on Rob and Akiva need a podcast. And now here he is, my co-host and co-creator of Rob and Akiva need a podcast, a man who has podcast about over 179 Seinfeld episodes, 10 Curb Your Enthusiasm episodes, and 30 episodes of Renap, and plenty of episodes about the NFL and more. Please welcome Mr. Akiva Winokur.
Did you get a lot of feedback on me guessing your weight last week?
I did.
My dad always said you never guess a co-host's weight or age.
Yeah.
I guess I forgot that ruling about tact.
Yes.
We got a lot of messages, mostly from women. I think 100% from women.
Right.
All saying.
And very little, hey, Akiva, how dare you? How dare you? That was a rude thing to do.
Well, it wasn't like planned. I think you may have said, like, I don't know how it started. We'd have to play back the tape. But
I can tell you how it started. You said
how did it start?
That you attempted to do an introduction for me and started guessing my height and weight.
Yeah. Well, I guess in theory, unless you're a boxer or like a fighter, like a mixed martial artist, they don't say your weight.
Traditionally, they don't do that for podcasts.
In the NBA, they probably say like 6'7". Well, not podcasts, but like, I don't think they say like LeBron's weight. They definitely say his height and his college had he gone. So I apologize for that. A lot of messages of, I can't believe Rob is thinner than me. No messages of, I can't believe Akiva's thinner than me. That certainly did not come through the pipeline. but yes, we are now a weight guessing free podcast. We will
not guess
our co-host's weight today. That is, yes. I can promise you that.
Okay. All right. So today we are going to be talking about Riverdale season 3, episode 7. It is back to back technical season 3, episode 7. And really, three times in a row talking about the season 3, episode 7 of a series. So when it rains, it pours. It was a long drought for season 3, episode 7, but we are in the thick of it, Akiva.
Yeah, some people are, and we could get to this later, but some people are really suggesting that maybe we should not be allowed to do season 3, episode 7 back to back.
But people are really worked up over nothing here.
I mean, ideally, like, you want people worked up about the show, which sometimes is about nothing.
This is a very first world problem of
it's
too
a zero.
Many.
No, we call them on Seinfeld zeroth world problems.
Zeroth world problems of too many season 3, episode 7 episodes in a row. And 90210 episode, I feel like, other than Akiva guessing my weight, I feel like I didn't hear a ton of feedback on that.
Now, I do think the season 3, episode 7s, we get very few, like, well, I skipped that one. That was unlistenable. But we do get much less feedback, I think, on those than the other episodes. I don't know if that translates to listens, but definitely in terms of hot takes, we get fewer takes from the listeners for those.
Yes. Less ambitious than some of the other things that we have attempted, I guess. But for people, and I loved it when you called out Matt Gagan on Twitter about who once said season 3, episode 7 is your best idea. The whole podcast should be season 3, episode 7.
Yeah, it was like a black box thing. You should make the whole podcast out of the season 3, episode 7. He has retracted. He has apologized in great shame, and he will never make that. Like, listen, there may be alternate from the alternate side, people saying, hey, you guys should cut season 3, episode 7 altogether.
Yeah.
That movement could start soon.
Okay.
Can I tell you also one thing, now that the intro to the podcast, that I thought of this week?
Okay.
So I never listened to this show, but I've been told that sometimes you start with like a last week's wheel spin. Is that correct?
Sometimes, if I feel like that there is some sort of a backstory that needs to be set up.
Right. So that makes sense. So I had the thought where, you know, when you watch Lost and the voice says previously on Lost.
Yes.
So, and that's, you know who that voice is, by the way, Rob?
Is it the guy who greenlit the show at ABC?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And then got fired.
Lloyd
His
Braun?
Name?
Lloyd Braun.
Lloyd Braun,
right.
Yes. Yeah.
He went crazy.
Greenlit the show, thought of it. Yeah, he went crazy.
And then he went crazy.
Thought of it and then was fired, I believe, before the $15 million pilot aired. And as sort of a thank you, he is the voice of that show.
Mm-hmm.
So I had an idea last week where, what if I got Lloyd Braun to record previously on Renap for us?
Okay. He's not in a mental institution?
Well, no. So just to not confuse people, Lloyd Braun is the name of the old ABC executive.
Yes.
And is also, I believe, based on him, a character on Seinfeld.
I think at least his name was used.
His name was used, I believe, but they knew him. I think like it wasn't an accident. Like they,
right.
Often on Seinfeld, they use people they knew.
Right.
So Lloyd Braun, not on social media, which makes it a little tricky to ask him. He is the CEO of Whale Rock Industries, an LA-based media and tech company. Whale Rock. Not a great name.
Yeah.
So if anybody has Lloyd Braun access,
three out of ten.
Know somebody at Whale Rock, yeah, then, try and get me to Lloyd Braun, because we just need a slight favor from him. But what? I also had a second thought. Rob.
Okay, anybody named Lloyd?
Well, that's what I thought. If we're not going to be able to get this guy, because he's probably too important for us, Lloyd Braun, what if I got the guy who played Lloyd Braun on Seinfeld?
Yeah, we'll take it.
We would for sure take that.
I mean,
now,
we'd take Will from America at this point.
No, we're not taking Will from America.
I think he's attainable.
He doesn't have that type of voice.
Okay.
So a diehard Seinfeld fan right now is saying, which Lloyd Braun? Because the Lloyd Braun was replaced after...
Oh, yeah.
We had Lloyd Braun in Non-Fat Yogurt with Dinkins working on the Dinkins campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Lloyd Braun from The Serenity Now, who works for George's dad selling the computers in the garage. So I have not been able to contact either Peter Kaligan or Matt McCoy, but we'll take the real Lloyd Braun, or we'll take one of the two Seinfeld actors who play Lloyd Braun.
Or anybody named Lloyd.
No, I think it has to be Lloyd Braun.
Okay.
If you have a friend named Lloyd Braun, we will take him, but Lloyd, that's too, I mean, at that point, okay. We could just get Will from America.
All right. Let's bring in our guest today to help us talk about what is going on here with Riverdale Season 3, Episode 7. I hope that they won't have too much of an axe to grind with me, because Riverdale, to get to this point of Season 3, Episode 7 of Riverdale here on the podcast, it's kind of a miraculous story, because back when we had the ping pong ball reckoning where things were voted out. Ideas were voted out of the
fishbowl.
I think
they called it the White Wedding, where a lot of balls got killed.
Yes. And so what happened was that Akiva and I both selected four things, and then we allowed the audience to vote to use the veto to save one of these ideas. And I said, let's vote Riverdale out of the fishbowl, not because that I did not want to speak to our potential guests today, but because I felt like that is there enough of a frame of reference for people to understand what is going on there. But somehow, I think mostly based on the popularity of our guests, that is why Riverdale was technically saved, even though I think that it did not get the most amount of votes to be saved from the White Wedding. Right, Akiva?
It was a tie.
It was a tie.
But
somebody else had the check arrow on the on Twitter. But they literally lost by one or two votes out of 1,500.
Okay, so it was close enough. So Riverdale was saved. It was picked from the fishbowl after another controversial spin where Census came up first, but we said that we have to have a 1 week grace period. So then Season 3, Episode 7 came up. We got to Riverdale, and here they are. And they are the co-hosts of the Riverdale podcast on the Kwiatkowski cast. Am I have that right?
The Kowski
cast.
Cow with a K.
Okay, so here they are. Let me introduce them one at a time. Okay, of course, first, let's welcome to Renap.
Don't say their weights. Just remember.
I never would. I never would.
Okay.
All right.
Sure.
First, here is Kirsten McInnes, not McKirsten McGinnis.
Yeah, McInnes.
Okay. All right, Kirsten, how are you?
I'm doing very well, but you are really erasing the journey it's been to get here, because first you didn't even put it in the fishbowl, and it took a week of fan outrage for you to add it to the fishbowl. Then you tried to so cruelly take it out. And
Your fans want to hear from you. I really think that we could have said, okay, oh, we're going to put on, I don't know, pick the worst the worst show ever, $1 Million Mile with Kirsten McInnes, and people would have been like, yes.
I mean, I think that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but I don't have an axe to grind with you, because I think that Riverdale season 3, episode 7 speaks for itself. I just wanted you guys to talk about it because it is so insane, and I'm just glad that it's finally happening.
Okay. And of course, also here with us, we're very excited, somebody that we have talked about quite a bit recently, because that she, once upon a time, took exception to the fact that Akiva and I talked about fan fiction and described fan fiction as being all erotic. And she said, no, that is not the case. And once upon a time, even volunteered to write a Robin Akiva fan fiction, which by my calculations is due in 3.5 weeks. Here she is with the great Twitter handle, Frail Mary. Mary Kwiatkowski. Mary, how are you?
Hi, I'm great. And yeah, just let's get that out of the way right now. I've argued this before, but I don't think there was really a point in time where I volunteered to write a fan fiction. I think I was volunteered to write a fan fiction, which is definitely going to happen. So everyone can just wait on that.
I thought
that.
You volunteered as tribute.
I don't know. I feel like I remember that tweet.
I'll have to look back at that, but I'm pretty sure I woke up one day to a bunch of tweets saying I'm excited for the Frail Mary fan fiction, and I had absolutely no idea what was being talked about.
Is that how we get all our guests, Rob? We sort of inception them into thinking like they invited them, you know, themselves on the podcast, when we sort of need them more than they need us.
Okay, well, definitely not. That's definitely not what we do, Akiva.
Yeah, but in terms of this Riverdale podcast, that was a whole other thing, because as far as I can tell from the Robin Akiva Anita podcast that I've been listening to, Kirsten was on the docket for this, and I do not recall my name ever being mentioned until all of a sudden I'm getting a message saying, hey, when can you record?
Well, I think Akiva was threatening to not have Kirsten and then have you instead, but I don't remember what his beef was.
That's okay.
I think she was mean to me on Twitter or something, and I replaced her name in the wheel list spreadsheet.
I would never be mean to anyone on Twitter. How dare you?
Kiva has a lot of feuds with the different podcast hosts.
I'm just surprised I'm welcome back. I thought I was banned after being on Dom and Colin this week.
That's different rules.
Okay.
It's funny because also like Frail Mary, she was like maybe the 2018 one of the rookies of the year. Like we had never heard of her.
Mm-hmm.
Then we found out about her dad's joggling, and I feel like she gets mentioned almost every episode.
Everyone finds out about me.
But it seems like she might not want to be here. This is intriguing. Like we may have accidentally forced her to come with
Kirsten. You can hang up if you want.
Yeah. Fine. I have her notes.
I would never. Oh, yeah. See, this is why I normally on my podcast, I refuse to send Kirsten my notes, because it's the only way that I can remain on my own podcast.
Okay.
She sends me her notes, but she redacts anything that's her own personal thoughts.
You mean because you don't want her to steal it?
Yeah, I don't want her to take my jokes. She can.
You know that happened to my dad once at a funeral. Like it's not so funny, but a kid in our neighborhood died. My dad's a rabbi, so he'll sometimes have to speak at the funeral. And a rabbi asked him, like, "What are you going to say?" And my dad knew the kid much better, and he told him. And the rabbi got up there and like kind of froze. And used my dad's total speech. He had to go up there and give a eulogy with like nothing. Anyway,
wow.
That's depressing.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Uh-oh.
Double downer.
That really took a turn.
Womp womp.
Yeah. Okay. So we're here to talk about Riverdale season 3, episode 7. And, I think that Riverdale is a pretty high concept in terms of what it is. So I think that we can spend some time talking about the Riverdale universe, which for the uninitiated is adapted from the world of Archie comics a couple of years ago. I believe it premiered in 2016, if I have that correct. Is that right?
It sounds right.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So it is currently in season three. So we're talking about an episode of television that has aired recently.
Yeah. So this episode aired in December and they had one more episode and then their like winter break. So okay. It's very recent. I think there's been
are we still on winter break?
What they've been doing is just taking random 2 week breaks throughout the season. So Mary and I set up a time to record for last week. And then we looked and we're like, oh wait, there was no Riverdale podcast and no Riverdale episode. And there's none next week too.
Yeah.
Cool. And that's happened like three times this season.
Okay. So, we're very lucky in the, Survivor and Big Brother world that we sort of like know when the season is and, there are not like, long hiatuses, during the season. So we pretty much are locked in for a while, but some of these, network scripted shows, you don't know exactly, what's going on in terms of the schedule. But so Riverdale season 3, episode 7, we'll talk about the episode, but I think that it's probably a more interesting conversation for people to talk about the world of Riverdale and the greater Riverdale verse. Now, Akiva, you going back from the Seinfeld podcast, were a longstanding fan of the Archie comics. Can you talk about how you got into Archie?
One time a neighbor was getting rid of a box of Archie comics because she was growing out of them, and she brought over a box of maybe like 1,000, like every Archie comic ever, and I just read every single one of them, and I would buy the new ones. Like, I'd go to the bookstore and buy like the monthly like double digest for Archie. So when I was a kid, I read Archie like constantly, and I did grow out of it, but the whole 90s I sort of was waiting for there to be an Archie TV show or an Archie movie.
Mm-hmm.
There is a TV movie with Archie, but it was not good, and I missed it for some reason. I think I was on vacation and it didn't tape. And just to show you like what happened to people in like 1993, if you missed it, and something like that would never re-air because it was like a miniseries on, say, NBC, there was just no way to ever see it. Like, it wasn't a blockbuster. It was like if you were a billionaire
FOMO.
And you had all the resources on earth, you probably could not have seen that show until YouTube was invented and streaming things started happening. So I've actually never seen it. And then by the time the show comes out, I'm 32 and I have a bunch of kids, and I'm out of the demo. I'm literally out of the 18 to 34 demo for the CW at this point.
All right. But you were excited. You were pumped up because at that time that Riverdale came on, that I happened to be doing a lot of promos for Riverdale on Rob as a podcast and on post show recaps, talking about like, hey, you remember Archie? Well, his world is back on the new show Riverdale. Mm-hmm. And I remember in the promos that they were incorporating like, oh, and there's a murder. There's a murder somehow incorporated into this world. So it was going to be an edgy version of Archie. Was that something that you had always longed for?
No, I want like a complete down to the source material. I'm an Archie purist.
Yes.
I did a podcast on 32 Fans about the pilot episode. And then I don't believe I ever watched the show again. Because again, I'm out of the demo. It was a little too crazy. As a purist, I was a little, I was probably against what they were doing.
Right.
But I've sort of been wondering, hey, what are they up to? My sister, I think, watches it, the famous Kayla Wienerker. And I do want to, I was excited today to dive back in and see like, all right, how off the rails has the show gone between season 1, episode 1, and season 3, episode 7?
Yeah. And Akiva, for people who did not ever read the Archie comics, the world of Archie comics, I mean, probably, would you say, is Saved by the Bell a good comparison to terms of the type of stuff that Archie would be dealing with in Archie comics?
Yes, but with much more of a Pleasantville 1950s theme, even though it's set in modern days. So it's more G/PG, whereas Saved by the Bell is like PG to... I mean, Saved by the Bell is rated PG probably, and if Saved by the Bell is PG, Archie's G. Like, it was very, no foul language. There's no on-screen sex.
No rampant drug use.
No, there was no cults, no murders. The biggest conflict in Archie comics was like, why were you late for Mrs. Grundy's class? Or how come I didn't get invited to the chocolate shop after school? And now it's like, you're not late for Mrs. Grundy's class. You're like sleeping with Mrs. Grundy in the back of the school. and the chocolate shop, you didn't get invited because like there was a gang meeting and you're in the opposite gang.
And the
gang.
Chocolate shop is a meth lab.
Yeah, that's okay. True.
All right. So now let's turn this over to Mary and Kirsten. And I would love to know from you both, why Riverdale? What was it about this show that made you guys so interested that you wanted to eventually start podcasting about it, Mary?
Well, I was actually in the opposite boat of Akiva. I had heard of Archie comics. I had read, you know, one or two, like at my grandparents' house, but I had not grown up with them. It was just more of something that I knew existed. So when I heard your promos about Riverdale, I was interested in the show, but I was afraid that I would need to know some sort of great Archie comics background to be able to get into it. So I put it off for a long time. Yeah. And then when I eventually did watch it, I think I watched like two whole seasons in, you know, 3 days. And that's when I pretty much felt like, okay, season 3 is going to come out soon. I need to start podcasting about this because this is just the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. I had a big debate with Kirsten about like, is the show even good? I'm obsessed with it. I'm addicted to it. But like, I can't tell if it's even a good show.
Okay. And Kirsten, were you a day one Riverdale fan?
I was a day one Riverdale fan. I did grow up reading Archie comics, not to the extent of Akiva. I haven't read all of them. I certainly couldn't remember any plot lines. But as the youngest of a bunch of people that are like 80s people instead of 90s people, I had like more access to stuff that maybe other people my age didn't as much. And so when I saw that Riverdale was coming out, I was super excited for it. I love like a trashy teen drama show. So I started watching it from day one, have kept up ever since. And when Mary had posted that she was watching it, I was like, oh my God, I'm obsessed, but like, I hate it, but like, I don't hate it. And then it just kind of turned into a podcast. And then now we're the dynamic duo of Frail Mary and Kirsten.
Okay. So here we are. And now the Archie world has been turned on its head. Is there any information that we need to have to set up this universe before we go any further?
Yeah, I mean, generally, Archie is the, you know, all-American boy, plays football, you know, decent grades, likes to play music on his guitar, wants to start a band. That's sort of his whole MO. And then it's just him, you know, trying to choose between Betty and Veronica in the comics. And the show quickly kind of deviates from that once they realize the chemistry between certain actors is more important than the source material. So they kind of don't really keep up with the whole Betty versus Veronica thing for a long time. But you've got your typical blonde girl next door in Betty and the new hotness in Veronica.
Okay. Yeah. And I will say that the actual show itself looks really good. That yes. I think stylistically, it's very impressive in terms of just the cinematography on the show. And I was really blown away by that in terms of watching an episode of the show.
Yeah, so the show is absolutely beautiful, and the costuming is great. They do a really good job with that. The one thing that's a little bit confusing is it's never really clear what the time frame of the show is. So like sometimes you'll see someone with a smartphone, but then other times it just seems like they have no way to contact each other or like things along those lines. So that's one thing to keep an eye on when watching this show.
One of my notes, Rob, is this the 1400s? Because they also Archie gets fed stew in this episode. Like, yeah. Like that's the only food like that they know about.
What do you have against stew? Stew's great.
Yeah. Like they do have smartphones though. Like you guys are confirming like this is supposed to be set in 2019. It's very like noirish and timeless, I'd say.
Yeah, there are multiple in-show Bumble ads and various things like that.
Yeah, it'll be like someone is single and they're like, "Yeah, I'm just swiping through on Bumble." Like,
yeah,
they do a lot of pop culture references, but they also, like you said, they're keeping with the whole Pop's chocolate shop thing, and pretty much everybody has a car from the 70s or older.
Yeah, overall, that this episode played like a fever dream for me.
That's the whole show.
It's very confusing. I also was not prepared for Archie to be as ripped as he was.
It
seems like that they invent a lot of plot devices for Archie to not have his shirt on, but like such as in this episode where that he is doing farm work randomly and like throwing bales of hay around. It was very odd. I'm also jarred by the color of Archie's hair, which is incredibly unnatural, and his eyebrows are like jet black and his hair is like flaming orange.
You know, it's really important that they named this show Riverdale and not Archie or Archie Comics, because I think you'll find Archie might just be the worst part of this entire show.
No, he is.
All of the reasons you've listed and more.
It's not might. He is literally the worst. He's so stupid. It's just he's the worst. We hate Archie.
But he does have extremely red hair, Rob. So that's one thing they actually are being loyal
faithful
to. They could have easily not dyed KJ Apa's real hair. You're saying is dark, right?
I believe so.
He has brown hair.
Brown hair. And he's the actor who plays Archie. And I the one thing is Archie's supposed to be the all-American guy, but he's sort of the all-American mediocrity. So he's too good looking. Like Archie, like he is way too jacked. I would never let him take his shirt off, you know.
Because Archie in the comics is like kind of like a doughy guy.
Yeah. Why are the two prettiest girls in school chasing after him? It's like that's sort of the.
So this is more realistic that they've made him like a hot guy.
Yes, but they've made his personality worse by comparison. So we still don't know why people like Archie.
Okay.
They had to make up for it, the abs.
Yeah. And the fourth main character who we didn't mention yet is Jughead, who is the person from your promos. I was extremely confused by the name and I'm still confused by the name. But Jughead is played by Sweet Life of Zack and Cody's Cole Sprouse, who does not normally have dark hair, but they dyed it dark for this as well. So they're really sticking true to the hair color issue.
Yeah, a lot of hair dye going on in Riverdale.
What can I just say about Jughead? So Jughead has very few but key characteristics in the Archie universe. And one is that he wears a crown with diamonds on it. And so they changed that to sort of the cool guy, you know, what they would wear, what all the guys on like MTV Challenge wear, like the
or Big Brother contestants,
the beanies that cool people wear that I once put on in a store and like the mirror broke. It looked so bad on me, but on them it looks really good. That's fine. I understand you want to update the crown, because otherwise every conversation should be why is Jughead wearing a crown.
Well, no, so we actually looked this up and he doesn't actually wear a crown in the comics. It's like a take on a specific type of hat that was very popular in the 50s.
Okay,
right.
And then does Jughead eat a lot of hamburgers in the comics? Am I getting that confused?
That's his main trait, more than the hat, more than anything, is all he cares about is eating, in particular hamburgers. He's like the Joey Chestnut on steroids.
I was gonna say, like, he's like the Akiva of the Archie comics.
He's like Joey Chestnut on Fizzle Rocks.
The Jughead character is probably the one that's the most different from the comics. I think they needed to make him still sort of be an awkward loner, but they kind of went toward the like
goth
gang hipster kind of direction to make that fit in a little bit more. But it was a huge fan theory for probably the first season and a half that he might not even be a real character and that he might be a ghost, and this might just be a whole show.
Jughead's also asexual,
like Mr. Robot.
If not literally, then essentially in the comics, where he women are interested in him, but he is only interested in hamburgers. Whereas in the show, I believe that is not the case anymore.
That is not the case in the show.
Okay. All right. So anything else we want to talk about with the universe? Do you want to talk about this episode?
I mean, why not jump into the episode? And then as it goes, Mary and I have a few like spot the fake plot line and stuff, so we can tie that into the larger picture.
Okay.
Is Jughead always the narrator, guys? Like it seems like Jughead narrates the first half of the episode, but then Betty sort of in her head narrates the second half of this episode.
Well, and that was a one-off. Weird episode. Yeah, this is a weird episode. Typically, Jughead does his voiceover at the beginning, and that's probably one of our favorite parts of our podcast is going through the Jughead voiceover.
Okay. Akiva, Mm-hmm. I knew that we were in trouble once I watched the previously on Riverdale of season 3, episode 7. Akiva, do you have any Riverdale season 3, episode 7 links that will open up porn windows for people?
Yeah, people are like, oh, we want more viruses on our computer. No, but if you, first of all, we have a lot of Canadian and non-American listeners. I think Netflix has all these episodes. Also, but just shell out the 99 US. Cents for iTunes or Amazon.
Yeah, I paid 99 cents on Amazon to watch this.
Yeah,
don't
so
say Rob
Canada,
puts nothing to the podcast, guys. He paid 99 cents this week.
Wow. So in Canada, we don't have the CW. So Netflix Canada owns the rights to Riverdale here. So we get the episodes week by week on Netflix.
Okay. All right. So, and if anybody else has any other ways to watch it, let us know on Twitter and we will pass those links along. But yeah, this previously on, I was completely lost by the end of the previously on, Akiva.
Yeah, again, like even when I left the show, there was a murder in the background, but like Archie was having an affair with his teacher. But this was a high school drama. We did not see a high school in this episode. I'm not sure if these kids are still in high school, if they are now 40 years old. There's a lot of like murder going on, but I like I don't know. Literally, this is a show about like something about like just friends hanging out. And here's two actual lines from this episode's Wikipedia. Veronica moves out again. She's a high school student and opens a casino in her speakeasy. So she already has a speakeasy and now there's a casino in it. And she later learns about Mineta's brutal killing. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a gambling, a high schooler owning a bar and learning about a murder. And then they make Betty meet the Gargoyle King and then forcefully feed her fizzle rocks.
Mm-hmm.
Those are that's just like a very basic scene in this episode.
Yeah.
It seems like it would be like the series finale would be eating fizzle rocks.
Well, and this was my takeaway from the previously on. Here's what's happening in the world of Riverdale. OK, so apparently Archie has broken out of jail. It's like a Shawshank Redemption-esque plot line where that he was in a bunch of like shirtless prison fights and then had to break out of jail through some sort of exhaust pipe and now is on the lam. There's also some sort of a Pop Rocks-esque drug ring happening where people are forcing other people to play like a Dungeons and Dragons-esque game, which that might be the only way that you could get Akiva to play Dungeons and Dragons is to ply him with narcotics and then get him to do that.
Yeah, so some key points. Archie was falsely imprisoned for murdering someone. He was framed for that. And then the juvenile detention center that he was in is called Leopold and Loeb. And the warden ran an underground fight club where all of the guards would bet on the matches. And Archie got tapped to be one of the fighters. He's really good at it. An amazing fighter by all accounts. And he got broken out from the illegal fight club. And miraculously, at the same time, Veronica found the evidence to show that he had been framed and that the witnesses had been paid off to lie. So he is a free man and has been cleared.
Okay.
Are they still in high school?
Yes. So these people are 15.
They're 15 to 16 years old in the show canon, which is a little bit ridiculous. The actors range anywhere from like 21 to 31 for the teen crowd. But yeah, you know, I wish I could say that your assessment of that recap was, you know, false in any way, but that's pretty much dead on to what's happening in the show right now. Season one was like a fun teen drama murder mystery, but the murder mystery was like the added bonus to the teen drama. It wasn't really the whole plot. Season two was a lot more about like serial killers and stuff. And then by the time you get to season three, we're on to drug lords and role-playing murder mystery games. So that's where we're at.
Okay. So the episode really opens up. We spend a lot of time with Archie and Jughead in the opening of this episode. And they are on the lam after Archie has been broken out of JV. And we hear a lot about somebody named Hiram. Did I have that right?
Hiram.
Yeah. Hiram. Okay. Hiram Judge. Is that his name?
Lodge. Hiram Veronica Lodge. Lodge.
Hiram this Lodge. Is Veronica's dad.
Right.
Yes.
So Archie's girlfriend or ex-girlfriend's father.
Yes. And he is played by Mr. Mark Consuelos.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Kelly Ripa.
Mr. Kelly Ripa. Yes. Okay. And
it's interesting, Rob, would you say, to have the bad guy, sort of the big bad of the whole show, be, and I'm being generous, 4'10".
Now you're a height shaming people?
Well, I'm short.
Not enough you're weight
that.
Shaming people?
I just feel like Akiva's way too caught up on people's physical attributes.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Akiva, it's just really
rude. Chester's favorite episode.
Now that I know that I weigh the same as Rob, it just really hurts.
No, don't tell us what you weigh, guys.
I don't care.
Boy. Nice going again, Akiva.
I don't care what people look like. It's just an interesting decision to have the bad guy be this, like, tiny man. Like, he's shorter than Kelly Ripa.
Marcus Velos is 5'8". I would just like to put that on the record. That's short. He is quite a bit taller.
If I played a one-on-one Mark Consuelos, I would actually dunk on his head.
Next, you're going to tell me Kit Harington is 6'1".
Was he short, too?
Oh, God.
Okay. All right. So, Mr. Hiram Lodge, he's everywhere in this episode. He's like the one through line across the show.
The man in black.
Yes.
That's what I was saying.
Okay. So, he's got a lot going on. He's trying to track down Archie and Jughead. And Archie, for a guy who's in incredible shape, seems like he's running out of gas on, I guess he just got out of Fight Club.
Well, it's important to note that they have been walking for days, and this was a big plot point that Kirsten and I were pretty hung up on, which is the fact that Archie had built a car earlier in the season, but decides not to take the car, and instead they are walking from one unknown place to another, probably in the vicinity of 60 to 100 miles from our rough calculation.
Mm. Does that sound right to you, Akiva?
Doesn't he have a famous jalopy? Like, isn't his car called the Jalopy in the comic books?
Yes, he does have a famous jalopy. And he still has that same jalopy in the show, despite the fact that it takes place in modern time.
Yes, but also in the show, he's 15, so he might not know how to drive yet.
Oh.
Yeah, it's also
that's interesting.
Also confusing.
Why don't they have cell phones when they're sort of wandering throughout the, you know, the countryside?
Because they probably know that they can be tracked with the maps in their smartphone.
How does Hiram Lodge have money? And is he like a billionaire?
So he, at the beginning of the show, Hiram was in jail for like illegal trading. And that's never really resolved how he got out of prison. Like, is he on parole? Was he cleared of all charges? Did he like bribe his way out? We don't know.
I'd like to speak to his parole officer. Yeah. I feel like he's violating.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, does Hiram Lodge, is he so wealthy? Does he have an Inspector Gadget room in his house?
Does he have Chester money, Kirsten?
In a hotel, I'm pretty sure.
Does he have like a bookcase panic room that he can activate?
We haven't seen any evidence of any panic rooms or secret rooms behind like a bookshelf or anything, but I would not
that would
put
be
it
too
past
weird
Riverdale.
If they had that on Riverdale.
Honestly, it might come up like by the end of the season.
He does have a life-size portrait of both himself and his daughter, which we have assumed are going to become plot points at some point, but have yet to.
That's probably where the Inspector Gadget panic room is behind that. When they move
behind
it.
His own portrait of himself.
He is, it was revealed to us in season two that he is part of the New York mob. And so that appears to be how he has most of his money.
Do we know what state Riverdale's in?
So this has been a big point of contention because at one point when I was watching the show, I don't know why, but I got it in my head that it was somewhere near Chicago. But as the course of season three has run, we have determined it is in upstate New York.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Which has not ever been stated exactly.
They made a comment about the tri-state area, so we just assume that that's where it is now. Mm.
Yes.
I mean, it feels like the middle of nowhere, though, right? It's clearly not Riverdale, New York, which is New York City, is in the Bronx.
Yes, exactly. Well, and it's also, there's a lot of maple syrup industry in the region.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
then you would be somewhere like Vermont, right? It who knows?
Okay.
It's filmed in Vancouver, which is West Coast Canada.
So Archie and Jughead end up spotting a farm. And so they say, hey, this looks like a place where we might be able to end up crashing. We got a bunk somewhere. And a classic scenario unfolds where some sort of local lady farmer, would you say?
Mm-hmm.
I would say a farmer's daughter, but there does not appear to be a farmer, or the farmer in question is missing. So
I think it is supposed to be the farmer's daughter, but it's not hugely important.
Yeah. Right.
As it comes up in the episode, her daddy is away.
Yes. So the farmer's daughter
is the implication, right? Because
no, they're building the jail.
They're building a jail.
Yeah, they're working on the project. All of the men in town are off working on some mysterious project. And so this woman, Lori, and her younger sister, Gracie, who is holding a shotgun, they are pointed right at Archie and Jughead, who have a cover story that they are Cal and Biff from Centerville. And they were on a train and they got robbed and they have no money.
Yeah, it's super believable. The names Cal and Biff are obviously real. Mm-hmm. What could go wrong?
Yeah. And so they end up making a trade to, you know, stay at the farm in exchange for doing some farm work.
Right, which is just the way that we need to segue into how Archie can take his shirt off at some point, because we have to be reminded constantly, why is this show popular? And it's not because of names like Cal and Biff.
Yes, okay. And Lori says, this was Akiva's favorite part of the episode, hey, you boys like stew? I would have left immediately, Akiva.
Yeah, because you're anti-stew.
Stew is terrible.
How familiar are you with past CW shows?
I don't think I've ever watched one.
I Dawson's Creek.
Okay, so a really popular show from the early 2000s was Smallville, which mm-hmm. is, you know, about Superman, young Superman. And the farm in question that is in this show is literally just the set of the Smallville farm that they haven't used since probably 2009 or 10, whenever that show ended.
Well, I think the CW just films every show in like the same three blocks in Vancouver. That's my impression without even watching the network.
It's not like they gave it a new paint job or anything. They're just using the exact same house and barn, which is why they're awkwardly doing things like eating stew outside because they don't want to show the inside of the house.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I thought that they just didn't want to let them in because they're strangers. It is weird, right? They eat lunch, like they eat dinner outside.
Yeah, I thought there was going to be something weird happening in the house.
Yeah, well, they said, whatever you do, don't go in the house.
Right.
It's like, oh, is there a murderer
because,
in there?
No, it's the Smallville set.
It's the Smallville set.
We don't go in there. Basically, they eat, and then they have to sleep in the barn, and Lori comes out and brings some blankets. Jughead's like, I got a bad feeling. We got to get out of here. Archie's like, no way, man. This is perfect. We're staying.
Yeah, Archie's ready Jughead to live and die in the barn. I would love to say that Jughead is usually the voice of reason, except for the fact that prior to this episode, he has been really deep into the Griffins and Gargoyles plotline, which is the Dungeons and Dragons game that sort of takes over your mind.
And what happened? Mm-hmm. They couldn't get the rights to say Dungeons and Dragons.
Well, that's another thing that we keep track of on our show is what we call the close but no cigars, where Riverdale likes to, for seemingly no reason, just change like a couple letters in different things. So you have things like glamazon.com and Kirsten, what are some other ones?
So they have American Excess instead of American Express. Mm-hmm. They've got, what do they call the eggs?
Oh, the Glamourge egg.
Yeah, they have Glamourge eggs.
I can answer that question because this is an Archie Comics thing. Because Archie Comics has its roots in, you know, a million years ago, when you were not allowed to say the names of competitors or other brands, it started and it just never stopped. Mm-hmm. So now you would be allowed to say American Express. Like, it would be free advertising, so you might not want to, but a lot of shows wouldn't distract people by saying like glamazon.com or whatever. But I think that's just like, you know, the, even though they're not faithful to the source material, the guy who makes the show, if you guys remember his name, I'm blanking on it, wrote the comics for years. It's not like he's unfamiliar with it and doesn't like it. So there are a lot of things that if you read the comics, you realize, oh, yeah, that's very specific to what they used to do.
It's just really great when they do that and they keep true to the source material and then they have ads for Bumble.
Mm-hmm. I mean, do you think that's paid advertisement for Bumble?
Oh, maybe. No, it definitely is.
It's 100%. They have paid CoverGirl ads too.
Yes.
Because Rob said, like, this is such a beautifully shot show, and the CW shows, like, a lot of times they have under 2 million viewers, even their popular ones. So, like, how much money could they be making? So I guess that's how they make their money, by advertorials.
Well, they probably have like a built-in like tween audience that's hard to reach on television. So if you are trying to specifically target that audience, it makes a lot of sense.
Well, it's a little bit confusing, actually, when you talk about the Bumble stuff, where it is the, I'm pretty sure Bumble, you have to be at least 18 years old to use, so I'm not really sure.
You're going to get them.
Is that your biggest problem with the episode, Mary? Like, yeah, the, you know, really not the is. Not the speakeasy that actually, the 15-year-old has, no, but the Bumble?
I think it's a non-alcoholic speakeasy, if I may interject.
My biggest problem with the episodes in general is just the severe lack of career paths that any of the parents have. The kids will have multiple jobs. I think at one point they mentioned Veronica's got three jobs.
I mean, Hiram Lodge is doing good.
We don't know the third one. We only know two of her jobs, though.
Can I bring it down for a second?
Oh, boy.
Sure, of course.
Yeah. I already mentioned a funeral before. So this is, we're in the middle of the back-to-back Luke Perry teen drama episodes. So how Luke Perry is Archie's dad. He just passed away in real life. Has the show been able to, I guess they haven't addressed it yet, probably.
Yeah, right, and did not appear in this episode, correct?
He's not in this episode. Was he, did he have an active storyline when he did pass away? And what do you think the show will do? And is it sort of a really big point to the show, or they'll be able to sort of write him out easily?
I think part of the reason we're on a 2-week hiatus right now is because they have caught up to the point, the last bits of time that he had been filming in the most recent episodes, where we are currently on episode like 18, I think, for season 3. So at that point, he was definitely a character. He was in the episodes, but he didn't have like a commanding plot line in the same way that he did in some of the earlier seasons. So it's a little bit unclear of how they're going to handle that. Archie's character, his parents are divorced, and so his mother is not really in the picture. She's played by Molly Ringwald and shows up occasionally, but they're not really, I don't think they're going to have a great way of just segueing into him living with his mom or anything anytime soon.
Was he a guest star or was he a series regular?
He was a series regular.
Yeah.
Okay.
But after watching one episode of the show, I have a lot of confidence that they'll be able to come up with some.
I was more nervous going in.
Hey, guys, guess what? Archie's dad was abducted by aliens. We've never seen. I don't know what happened to him. He's gone. Yeah. What do we do?
If there's an alien plot line coming up, I will never forgive you for putting that into the
universe. Is there sci-fi? That's a good question. Is there a sci-fi aspect to
this
show?
This is Gargoyle King!
I think I'm still holding out hope that everything that is sci-fi-ish is going to be somehow explained.
Yeah.
I still have that hope
for Lost, by the way, and it's been off the air for 12 years.
They try to come up with rational explanations for a lot of the stuff, so you'll be like, oh, is this what's happening? No, that's not what's happening. But I have my theories about the Griffins and Gargoyles plot, and it seems like they might be right, but we'll need more episodes of season 3.
Yeah, the first two seasons were definitely not magical in any kind of way.
Jughead is going to go off and explore the ghost town, which is seemingly abandoned. There are weirdo hieroglyphics everywhere. Jughead has a conversation with a 100-year-old woman on a rocking chair who talks about the fizzle rocks. Can we set up the fizzle rocks here?
Yeah, so fizzle rocks are the new drug. The old drug, Jingle Jangle, which was a lot like pixie sticks. I guess they decided at some point that wasn't cool anymore, so we switched over to fizzle rocks, which, as you said earlier, are pop rocks.
But they have some sort of psychedelic effect, or at least a mind control effect on people.
Yeah, they're definitely a drug, and I'm not sure what it is. Maybe it's like a meth-related drug, because it's rocks, but I don't know. And we still don't really know where they came from. It just seems like they are a drug that used to be really prevalent in the area, and now it is back.
Okay.
And it's unclear whether or not there was a candy called Fizzle Rocks that has now become a drug, or if they're just using the candy packaging to package a new drug. It's a little bit unclear, but either way, I'm just glad not to be saying Jingle Jangle ever again.
It also seems as though that, and then basically the number one thing that you want to do when you take the Fizzle Rocks is play Dungeons and Dragons.
Griffins and Gargoyles, how dare you?
Griffins and Gargoyles. But to our listeners who don't know Griffins and Gargoyles, that's what it is. Akiva, did it bother you that we cleaned Dungeons and Dragons out of the Wheel waiting room last week, but then we had to watch this Riverdale episode that talked about Dungeons and Dragons?
I do think it definitely did not want me to bring it back in, but I do think they're sort of trash talking us a little bit.
Would you be okay with Griffins and Gargoyles podcast?
I think that's, how about Kirsten and Mary can do it, and we'll guest on their Griffins and Gargoyles episode.
What if you were hopped up on Fizzle Rocks?
Yeah, I would have to be on a lot of Fizzle Rocks in order to do that podcast.
Now, before you make too much fun of this, I will just say that the Great Will from America is coming over to my house later to play a very similar type game. So
on Fizzle Rocks?
Oh, no, never.
Yeah, so that's been a thing, too, where I was really going in on Dungeons & Dragons and Griffins and Gargoyles by extension, and then Mary was like, hey, I listened to a D&D podcast, and then I really had my...
Wow, 2 weeks in a row we got... a couple people's feelings, I think, were hurt last week when I said that.
But listen, Akiva doesn't care who he offends. Well,
yeah,
it's true. Akiva is so insensitive.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. All right,
but speaking of the Griffins and Gargoyles, we do have a little thing here where we have three true plot lines and one false plot line relating to Griffins and Gargoyles, if you want to try to guess which one has not happened in the show. Yeah, so we've got Griffins and Gargoyles, which, like you said, is a role-playing game that seems to go kind of from 0 to 100. You either have scenes of kids, much like in this episode, just sort of sitting around rolling dice and playing on this board, or they're like full-on dressed up in crowns and capes running around and drinking poison. So it's one or the other, really. So here are some plot lines. I'll give you four, and one of them is false. So you have to guess which one did not happen here.
Do we have to work together?
Right. Sure, you can work together.
You do. Right. You have to roll a die, actually.
Mm.
All right. So number one, the kids' parents formed a band while all playing Griffins and Gargoyles.
Okay.
Number two. Okay. One kid jumps out of a hospital window in order to reach the next level.
Okay, that sounds right.
Number three.
And he does too, because there's a lot of bands in Archie, like Josie and the Pussycats is an Archie, and Archie has a band called the Archies, famously. Mm-hmm. So I think Abe might be right also.
All right, number three. A parent pretends to be the Gargoyle King to scare their son straight.
Hmm. What do you mean by scare him straight?
Exactly what it sounds like.
Mm.
Well, no, then, not exactly what it sounds like. Scared Straight is about crime, and this it's a homosexual character. So
like a conversion therapy therapy. So you're saying that in the world of Archie, that being homosexual is like the hiccups, that you can scare somebody and then you would change their sexual orientation
in this scenario.
Okay,
sure.
At least that was their theory.
Or that's Mary and Kirsten's theory, and they kind of messed up this question.
which let me just tell you, it is not. It would if it did or did not happen, it would not be the first time that a similar thing has happened in Riverdale.
Oh, okay, fine. Okay,
all right. And the last one: two kids join the circus as part of a Griffins and Gargoyles quest.
Hmm.
So we got start a band, jumping out of a hospital window. I should add to the death, and then scaring their son straight and joining a circus.
That didn't work, right? I guess tell us after.
Okay.
I'll say, Akiva, I'm going to go with the circus.
Yeah, I think circus is right. C is the second place one, but I think circus is right.
Yes,
that's correct.
You're correct.
Okay. Rob is good at these games.
We've got more. Just wait.
Okay. All right. So, and what happened when the parents tried to scare their child as the Gargoyle King?
I think they were arrested.
Mm, they should be. Sure. Should be.
Yeah.
Lock them up.
It was pretty dangerous. It involved, trying to get people to drink fake poison.
Yeah.
So. Well, was it real poison or was it fake poison?
I think it was fake poison in this instance, but it's usually real poison.
Yeah. Fake poison is fine.
Disguised as a Gatorade, so.
Okay.
Yeah, there's lots of... parts with the Griffins and Gargoyles where it comes down to where you have to choose a chalice to drink from, and one of them has cyanide in it and one of them doesn't.
Okay. Back at the barn, so Archie, despite having no discernible stubble, is going to receive a classic straight razor shave from the farmer's daughter, Lori. In the barn.
Sort of a combined shave lap dance kind of situation going on.
Right. And I guess it's supposed to be somewhat menacing. We get like a lot of like close-ups of, the straight razor. What is she going to do? But it does turn into some sort of a romantic interlude.
Right. And Archie has recently, I think one day prior or one long walk prior, broken up with his girlfriend, Veronica. So we're only one day of Archie being single in the show.
Mm-hmm. But he stops her. He stops Laurie. I can't go through with this.
Yeah. So he, even though he broke up with his girlfriend to go on the run, he is not able to be with anybody else. And he, you know what? He needs to come clean. He needs to share his true identity and really let him know that he's running from his ex-girlfriend's dad, who is trying to murder him.
Mm-hmm. So he ends up passing on the romantic interlude, but he could go for some lunch. So the farmer's daughter is going to go cook him some scrambled eggs, and then she brings them to him. He takes a bite, and then she cold cocks him with the frying pan, Akiva.
He gets bopped.
Yes. Not the mama. Classic move.
Not the mama. Can I point out that at this point in the episode, and we're pretty deep, we have still not seen the title sequence. It comes up later than any episode in the history of television. Like, I thought we were at, like, commercial break number 4, and literally they flashed the words Riverdale on the screen. And I'm like, wait, did this show just start over again? What just happened?
Right. Well, and this episode is very different. Like, normally it will jump back and forth between plot lines instead of doing, like, story 1, story 2, story 3. Mm-hmm. And normally you would see, like, the front, like, Riverdale would come up a little bit earlier than halfway through the episode.
Right. They really just stick with people. I actually like that idea. It would be interesting if the show always did this, where it's like, all right, we're going to show you Archie and Jughead for the first half, and then, you know, Veronica gets a quarter and then Betty gets a quarter. It is interesting pacing because you get to stay with them for a while instead of just constantly going back and forth soap opera style.
It's easier for podcasting.
Yeah. But also, why do they need to flash their names on the screen? That seems insulting to the viewer.
I had that in my notes of this is season 3, episode 7. I think we know who Archie and Jughead are.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think they showed Riverdale towards the end because it was like finally involved with more of the plots of what's happening in the actual town of Riverdale.
Right.
Okay. So just to yada yada this Archie storyline here. So after Archie is out cold, then the farmer's daughter drags him to one of the barn posts and ties him up with rope, only to have Jughead come in and untie him. And there's a little bit of a debate over what's the next move, because they correctly presume that Hiram Lodge is on the way. Jughead says, hey, let's get out of here. Archie finds a pair of hedge clippers and says, hey, let's wait in here, and then I'll kill Hiram Lodge when he comes in. And there's some debate back and forth. And Archie says, no, you don't understand. I can do it. Just let me at him. I'll kill him. And Jughead says, I know. He could do it.
Well, but what would his girlfriend
say? Yeah, what would Veronica say if you killed her dad?
What would your ex-girlfriend? She would be so mad if you killed her dad. That's literally his reasoning.
Yeah.
Your ex-girlfriend, whose dad is trying to kill you every episode, would be so upset with you if you kill her dad.
Also, you know, to kill a man with a pair of old hedge clippers, I feel like that's going to take a while.
And also, he tries to find a pitchfork. He's like trying to bring a pitchfork to a gunfight. Like, we saw they have guns. Like, Jughead saw Hiram Lodge right from behind the bushes. So he knows that they're armed and that he's in the house.
But he's going to go Edward Scissorhands on Hiram Lodge.
Yeah, like, he's already been beat up by a frying pan, but okay. <Yeah.
laughs> Can I ask Kirsten or Mary, can't Veronica just ask her dad nicely not to kill her ex-boyfriend?
It's a whole plot line where there's so much of her being like, oh, like, daddy, why can't you just, like, let me and Archie be? But Archie caused the conflict. Like, Archie used to be really in with Hiram and his, like, mob dealings. And
oh, sure.
Then
family business.
So he was getting into it all. And then he decided, you know what, this is wrong. I can't be involved in it. And then he threatened Hiram with, like,
tales
his knowledge.
Tales old as time of.
Yeah.
And you know, so getting your daughter's high school boyfriend involved in your drug business. I also, and like, Hiram Lodge seems to be too rich to be dealing with these. Like, why doesn't he have a team of people? Why doesn't he have like Josh Wiggler and a Mike Bloom who are like, all right, you're going to go out on the assignment and do that stuff for you. Like,
those are the henchmen examples.
Yeah, those are your henchmen. I'm one of your henchmen.
They are no henchmen.
Akiva, if you want something done right, you do it yourself.
Yeah, but he's too rich for this. It's like Rupert Murdoch doesn't go like fix a wire when like the cable's broken. He seems like a very poor billionaire. Mm-hmm. Doesn't make any sense to me.
He doesn't know how to delegate.
No, he's got to learn how to delegate. Veronica in the comics is the like her whole thing is that she's the world's biggest daddy's girl. He will do whatever. Like she'll be like Daddykins. She calls him Daddykins. Daddykins, oh, yeah. Can I go to Paris with Betty for the weekend? And he'll be like, no. And she'll say, please. And then like next comic strip, they're in Paris. So the fact that Hiram Lodge will not agree to not kill her boyfriend, I don't know. That seems rough to me.
He would definitely send her to Paris, though.
Okay. So let's talk about Veronica, because after Archie and Jughead escape, Hiram Lodge is going to be beside himself about it. He can't believe what happened. It turned out that the farmer's daughter was just trying to obtain freedom for her brother, or was it to repay whatever money they owed?
Yeah, it sounds like kind of both.
Oh, okay, all right. So now we're going to spend time with Veronica for the middle section of the episode. And we see Veronica with her mom. They're talking through. What happened is like some sheriff that has gone missing.
Yeah, well, there was a sheriff for the first season and a half who was one of the kids, Kevin, his father. And he was great. Sheriff Keller, top notch, one of the best River Daddies in the show, but
he's the only River Daddy. Stop saying that.
Kevin Keller, by the way, Rob, is the newest of the comic book characters. He's the first, I believe, their first LGBT character.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
And could you explain the term River Daddy?
Well, I don't think you want them to.
So there's a lot of hot River Dads in here in this show. Most of them no longer have jobs, and that's a problem. So Jughead's dad, Kevin's dad, Archie's dad, lots of River Dads. And generally the fans want them to get together and actually do something important because they just sort of seem to be sitting back at this point.
Basically, you have learned about the term zaddy from Bryce, mm-hmm. and it's the same kind of thing, just okay. in Riverdale. River Daddy.
I thought Phil T taught me everything I know.
But Hiram put in place his new sheriff who's working for him. And that's the person who is missing in this
yeah,
scenario.
He's been proven to be very corrupt. I believe that the footage that cleared Archie to get him cleared of all charges was the Sheriff Mineta, bribing people with like $10,000 to lie.
Okay. And then this was Hiram is covering his tracks here.
Yeah, that's what it seems like.
Okay, all right.
Got to cut off all the loose ends.
Yeah, got to take out the patsy after the fact. Okay, so then Veronica is sleeping in some sort of a diner, and then right. wakes up. Now I don't understand she's. I was like confused. I was like, are there multiple brunette women on this show? Like I was very confused between she's at the diner, she's in a waitress uniform, and then it's later on I'm seeing somebody else like that's working at a nightclub. I didn't know it was the same person.
Yeah, so Veronica owns Pop's Chocolate Shop, and underneath Pop's Chocolate Shop is the underground speakeasy that she has opened called the Bon Nuit.
Okay, but then Pop shows up and talks Pop about tape. How that he this malt shop has been in his family for generations.
Yeah, so Veronica's dad bought it from him.
Right.
And then Veronica bought it from her dad.
Right.
Okay.
Can I say that Veronica is a high schooler who owns the local establishment, like the only local establishment? Mm-hmm. It's pretty wild.
Okay. Yeah.
How'd she pay for it?
She kidnapped another son of a different mob boss and held him hostage for $1 million.
Okay.
Oh, but, yeah.
By the way, are you being serious? She paid for it.
I'm dead serious. No, that's serious.
That's amazing.
But then she's also opening the malt shop at 6 a.m. and like mopping the floors.
Right. She doesn't go to school. We don't know if anybody goes to school still.
Okay.
When was the last time we saw Riverdale High School?
Actually, in one of the more premiere. Recent episodes, they were doing...
the teacher. I know. I saw that one.
a musical. No, and you keep coming back to Miss Grundy. The other thing, Akiva, that you don't know is the person that was playing Miss Grundy, because obviously you were outraged that Miss Grundy was young and attractive.
Yeah, she was supposed to be 90 and she was 35.
Someone stolen Miss Grundy's identity after she died.
Oh,
so Miss Grundy was an old woman, but this was someone who stole her identity.
Is Archie still sleeping with Miss Grundy or the fake Miss Grundy?
No, Miss Grundy's dead. We were very lucky that she only lasted 4 or 5 episodes. She got murdered.
Okay.
Yeah,
she got murdered. Show, honestly,
Justice for Grundy.
Incredible. I might go back and binge it, but I'm definitely watching going forward. Every question we ask them, the answer they give is the most insane answer possible.
You don't even have to watch the show. You could just listen to the podcast with Mary.
That's a good point. Yeah, that might be better. Find out who the River Daddies are.
Okay. All right. So then we go to Veronica. She's at some bar, which we find out is a speakeasy that doesn't really serve alcohol, correct?
Yes, $5 mocktails, which was never going to work in this this climate.
They had that at my college, and there was like in the student union, they had a place that you could go and get mocktails, and not one person ever went there to get a mocktail. Who wants fake alcohol drinks? What's the point?
Nobody. That's the problem. And so obviously that's why Veronica is having money problems, because nobody wants to buy these mocktails.
It appeals to no one, because either people want alcohol or that they want it. It's a different drink. Nobody wants fake alcoholic drinks.
I think like 12-year-olds. Like, I feel like my kids would be into that.
Maybe like little kids that are like pretending. But there's no point in drinking alcohol that doesn't get you drunk. It's one of my biggest issues, Akiva, on Star Trek The Next Generation, is that they're always ordering synthahol. And it's like, why? What's the point? Just get a different drink.
Yeah, that's
weird. Maybe they're alcoholics, Rob, and they just miss the taste.
Maybe. Okay. So we have the first appearance of Reggie. Akiva, we were Reggie guy.
No one could be a Reggie guy. Reggie's the bad guy in the comics. Reggie is Archie's nemesis.
He seems pretty innocuous here.
He is actually very innocuous, I think, on the show from the two episodes I've seen.
Reggie's worried in the show.
I don't.
Yeah, Reggie was more of a typical sort of football player bully in the first season, and then he was he was recast with a different actor, and he's been a lot more of the sort of happy-go-lucky.
Was he recast, or did the current actor kill the previous actor and steal his identity, Grundy style?
Yes.
No, I don't think so, but it could have happened. Anything is possible in Riverdale.
Okay. So somehow the speakeasy with fake alcohol is not doing well. And so Veronica has an idea. And so here's what we're going to do to bring some money in. We're going to have an illegal casino night where people are going to be able to gamble. We'll have table games. We'll basically set up like a Las Vegas style casino at the speakeasy where people can come in and have illicit gambling. They did this on The Sopranos all the time, Akiva.
Well, you don't have to call it illegal gambling. I feel like it would be better, like the police won't catch on as much if you call it like a legal casino.
So they call it legal gambling.
Yeah, legal gambling, legal blackjack.
Legal or casino.
Say it's for charity.
The sheriff is dead.
Tournament
yeah,
is for
nobody's
charity.
Nobody's looking into this. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, who is Elio? He is the local pizza maker.
Elio is another mob son, different than the one that she kidnapped and held hostage earlier. This is a different guy, and he pops up from time to time. Basically every time it's the same plot line. It's, oh hey, this guy is probably not being genuine, but we're going to trust him and then find out that he's scamming us, and then we're going to beat him in his scam every time.
No, he didn't scam them when he helped them break Archie out of prison.
I guess that's true.
So Veronica has this idea. It gets back to her dad. Her dad comes into the coffee shop, says, hey, this is a bad idea. Don't do it. She's like, you can't tell me what to do, Dad. Okay. So they're going to go through with this. And Akiva, we have here, you know, we have seen many gambling montages and moments in different TV shows and movies. To me, I felt like that this was the most implausible gambling scene I've ever seen in any piece of media.
Yeah, no, this makes Rounders look like a documentary.
So what happens here is that even though Veronica trusted this guy, Elio, to come in and be on the level, and he was going to take 25% of the profits from legal casino night, he came in and he's at the blackjack table and he's basically like a real, what's the name of Lloyd Bridges's or Lloyd Braun's company?
Oh, in Seinfeld? Oh, White Shark or something?
Whale Rock.
Well, he's like a real Whale Rock right now.
Yeah.
And that he is just, he's breaking the bank. He's cleaning them out because that what percentage of the profits are going to be left for Veronica once Elio completely cleans out? And maybe he's also cheating at blackjack. We don't really know. Is he counting cards, Akiva?
I'm not sure. Also, if I was Elio, I probably wouldn't mess with the daughter of like a murderous billionaire, but that's just me.
He can't help it. He can't help
it. He's also the son probably of a murderous billionaire.
Okay. So here comes Veronica, and she is going to take matters into her own hands with Elio. She is going to get dealt into this blackjack game for a classic game of heads up, all in blackjack. One of the most popular.
Yeah,
I think it's the most popular game at Legal Casino Night.
Yes, where no longer are you playing against the house. You are playing blackjack straight up against another person at the table. Yes.
Instead of essentially flipping a coin, you have decided to do this.
And for whatever reason, it's not just all in money. It's all in for the deed to the speakeasy and the diner.
Yes.
Yeah, because she also seems
very like Deadwood-y, right? That like that's when you'd like bet your horse or your spouse or something. Not in 2019. Nobody bets like their car or anything on a freaking hand of blackjack.
So that's what happens here. And so Elio's like, okay, sure. I'm so good at blackjack. I will play you heads up for all of the money, all of the deeds. And so Elio, he gets dealt a 20. Great hand in blackjack.
Not much could be better.
Yeah, he's pretty much like 90-something percent to win at this point.
Akiva, in heads-up blackjack, should you split on a 20, or is that going to really...
I don't think you're allowed to. Okay, I don't think you
can. Can't split in heads-up blackjack. Okay, Veronica gets a 19. That's a great hand, but it's not going to be the 20.
Aren't they playing cards up? Like, does she have any reason not to hit on 19?
No, she has to take the shot because she loses if she doesn't.
That's right. Now, fortunately for Veronica, I guess she's on the button, so she is able to react last.
Massive advantage there. Also.
massive advantage in heads up blackjack to be on the button. And so Veronica is going to hit on 19, and everybody's like, what? You're crazy. You can't hit on 19 in heads up blackjack against the 20? Right.
She already lost, though, right? It's completely insane.
So she's going to hit. She's going to hit. And wouldn't you believe it? Guess what comes up?
A two?
Is it a deuce?
Oh, my God.
Is it a deuce?
And everybody's like, what? That's impossible.
They should have made it less realistic and have an ace. I know they don't have enough respect for their listeners, for their viewers. Have an ace and then have her hit again on 20. Again. Well, then you lose. Oh, yeah. So you have her hit again on 20 for 21.
Yes. I'm honestly surprised they didn't do that.
Yeah,
that would have been amazing. Yeah, but it's too complicated because not everybody knows an ace is one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just surprised you guys took this close detail and paid attention to this because I don't have any.
That's what goes on in this podcast. We analyze stupid things, but don't pay attention to our actual lives.
What this is actually doing is I know Akiva is really obsessed with doing some sort of gambling podcast. You guys should do one where you watch all the iconic gambling scenes and analyze them because this is great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We get like Daniel DeGrano on the episode, and we watch all the famous scenes in Rounders, and
we'll rank how implausible they all are,
The Paul Newman pool shark movie. That's not a bad idea.
Okay, so it turns out that Veronica got a hot tip from her dad, Hiram, that said, "Hey, word on the street is that Elio's going to scam you guys, and he's going to try to cheat. So let me give you my special." A sleight of hand dealer, so that she came in and the dealer ended up with like dealing from the bottom of the deck. And so they scammed the scammer.
We love scamming a scammer.
It kind of makes me like her less, though, right? Like, who cheats? I don't like that she cheated at blackjack.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Yolo's going to find out and it's going to get ugly.
Just when she was feeling good about her dad, then she goes and talks to Pop. And Pop is like, hey, just don't be like your dad. Because she's like, what do you mean? My dad's not that bad. And he's like, well, They just found the sheriff's body. They think it was him, but he was decapitated and his hands were cut off.
Which, let me say, red flag. If you're decapitated and your hands cut off, you're probably not dead.
Whoa, I'm pretty sure anyone who's decapitated with their hands cut off is definitely dead.
So you're saying that you think that maybe the Sheriff Mineta could be alive and well, but...
That's my gut feeling at this time, watching the show.
This was just some rando with a head and arms cut off.
Right.
Could be Miss Grundy.
No, they found her body.
Yeah, do you want to guess how Miss Grundy was killed?
Hedge clippers.
It was creative.
I'm going to guess the Gargoyle King put like a wizard spell on her and her head popped off.
Oh, close. I will say that one of the main characters, so Betty's father, murdered her using a cello bow.
Cello bow?
Yeah, choked her with it.
Is he in jail for this? I hope he's doing hard time, Betty's dad.
He's in jail. He was a serial killer. He did not just kill Miss Grundy.
He was a serial killer? Betty Cooper is like the most, like even more than Archie, is like the all-American... and like her dad is a serial killer. Mrs. Cooper isn't killing anybody, I hope.
No, she's in a cult.
Actually, I think she did kill one person at one point.
Oh, yeah, she did. Alice has killed someone.
Has anybody, as a main character on the show, not taken a life?
There are people who have not directly killed people, but I'm pretty sure we did a check and everybody has either killed or covered up, you know, a body or something. So
I want to say, Rob, their podcast sounds pretty good now having this conversation. Yeah. I feel like they do a lot of in-depth analysis on like how many you should have a body count. Yes. If you guys can go back.
Have you guys talked about any CSI New York episodes?
We never have.
We watch the same episode every week and podcast about it just over and over.
I'm a hostage on that podcast.
Has Meghan Markle ever appeared on Riverdale?
Yeah, we actually watched season 3, episode 7. Oh. We kind of had it first, but we just never really came at you guys for it.
Okay. All right. We have one final plot line to talk about here in this Riverdale episode. And Akiva, believe it or not, this is the most unbelievable of the three plot lines.
Yeah, and the least likable, if I could add also. Like, the Archie and Jughead, it's a very easy way to get into the show. It's like, all right, I get it. They're on the lam. Veronica, it's like, it's insane, but it's very easily understood. This, I'm not sure if it was a fever dream. My theory for the whole show is that everyone's in hell. That the whole Riverdale, it's like St. Elsewhere, right? Like at the end, spoiler alert, it's I think the autistic kid, it was Snow Globe. It was a dream. Like here, this is like Archie Andrews, everyone's in hell. And this is just what's happening. Because it's really dystopian, right? Is there ever an episode that's just like, we're gonna go to a Josie and the Pussycats concert and... you know, someone makes out with somebody, or is it always death and destruction?
Well, by season 3, it's mostly death and destruction, but there were a couple early episodes that involved things like, you know, throwing a party and, you know,
can I ask one more question about characters? So, Rob, there was a major, I'd say, recurring character, not in the big 5 or 6, but definitely in the top 10, a guy named Moose. Do you know Moose, Rob?
No.
So Moose is like the big, exactly what you think, like a big lunkhead, you know, star of the football team. And he has a pretty girlfriend named Midge, who's very nice. And but if you look at Midge, Moose who otherwise is a nice guy, will murder you. If you look in his direction, he will pulverize you.
Okay.
And there'll be a lot of booms and whaps. So are Moose and Midge in the show? And if so, what's going on?
Right. Well, so Midge factor doesn't matter as much anymore because she was murdered. She was murdered
no!
by Betty's serial killer father during the musical. So.
What did Moose do?
I like Midge.
So Moose actually in the show is a closeted homosexual who's been in a relationship with Kevin, and his dad is the one who dressed up as the Gargoyle King to try and do some conversion therapy. Okay.
But I would still imagine, even if he is gay, I would imagine that Moose... still going to avenge the murder of Midge.
I think he did. I think he was involved in the avenging of Midge because there was a lot of question of who killed her at the time, and they thought it might be the rival gang.
Mm, okay. All right. Let's talk about Betty here and what she's going through. And so just to set this up, this was given to us from the previously on that Betty is in some sort of insane asylum / convent that is run by nuns. And she is given some sort of a Rorschach test, but we're hearing her inner monologue as she thinks that the things in the Rorschach test are things that pertain to, the Gargoyle King and that stuff. But she's giving like very mundane answers so she can beat the test and be released from the psychological evaluation and go on with her crime investigations.
Yeah, so this is the Sisters of Quiet Mercy. It comes up a lot throughout the series. So they have this kind of area where I guess they put people who are considered mentally unstable. They have other sections as well that deal with different things. Like there's talk of pregnant teens going there. There's a conversion therapy plot line with the Sisters of Quiet Mercy. It's a truly ridiculous place, and Betty has been sent there and she thinks she can beat it, but what becomes clear over the episode is that they do not want her to beat the Rorschach test.
So they give her fizzle rocks, of course, that is the medicine that you get here at this institute.
I think that's probably the best term.
Okay. And she gets a roommate, Ethel. Can you tell us anything about Ethel?
So Ethel is Barb from Stranger Things. Mm-hmm. And she has been sort of a really minor character for the first two seasons, just kind of hanging out in the background, not super popular, but just kind of there every once in a while, doesn't do a whole lot. And then starting in this season, she was one of the first kids to really get into the whole Griffins and Gargoyles mm-hmm. thing. She is mm-hmm. definitely full in on that. And as we find out, she seems to be in love with the Gargoyle King, who is, how would you describe what the Gargoyle King looks like,
is
Rob?
It a person?
So I went to go see Lion King, the musical, one time. So mm-hmm. I would say the Gargoyle King looks like Mufasa from the Lion King live action musical. Mm.
In the original story, Ethel's called Big Ethel. I get why they don't call her that now. Everyone would just be asking her weight.
Surprise. You're not calling her Big Ethel.
But she's not heavy. She's just gawky. She was like the definition of the word. She was like, 6'2", but... anyway, but she was like very like unlovable and nerdy. She's the nerdiest character. Actually, the real nerdiest character on Archie, we haven't mentioned, I don't know if he's in the show at all, is Dilton Doily. So Kirsten or Mary, is Dilton Doily a character in Archie?
Did he die also?
Yeah, so Dilton Doily died in the premiere of season 3 in a Griffins and Gargoyles related incident with some cyanide.
Is nobody sacred? They're killing off freaking Dilton Doily?
And that's the thing is, so the end of the episode, there's two boys involved, and one of them is Dilton, and one of them is an unnamed character that we didn't really know. And we just assumed that the unnamed character would be the one that was dead, but it came back to the second episode, and it was like, yep, Dilton is dead. And
Rob,
no,
you know what that means, right?
I do not.
I think that usually on TV shows means they didn't like working with the actor.
Oh, yeah. They're not going to replace Dilton Doily.
Dilton Doily was not big on the show anyways. Like he had like mm-hmm. a minor plot line where he was like a survivalist who had a bunker and like was trying to learn how to shoot guns and stuff. But like it wasn't mm-hmm. a major thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. We mostly needed to get him out of the picture so that we could use his bunker as the place where the teens could go and hook up mm-hmm. in privacy.
Also, the other major character who was definitely a big point of the pilot is Cheryl Blossom, who is sort of Rob. Cheryl Blossom is the redhead to Betty's blonde and Veronica's brunette, the third wheel, who was like, I think introduced in the 50s and 60s, went away for decades, and then they made a big deal of like bring her back during like comic sweeps in the 90s.
Comic sweeps.
But she's like, she is much more, I don't know how I would describe her, but she's, I'd say, like less innocent than Veronica and Betty.
Basically, Cheryl was removed from the comics because she was deemed too sexy.
She's like a Jessica Rabbit figure in the Archie
world.
She's
a lot, a lot like that, honestly.
She's Riverdale High's classic sort of mean girl. Mm-hmm. She actually has a pretty big presence on the show. She wasn't really in this episode, but she's a large part of most of the other episodes.
What's her name, Akiva?
Cheryl Blossom. The show starts, I believe, with her brother being killed. That's how the series begins.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Okay. It looks like that she... Does she appear in Riverdale, the show?
Yeah,
she's a huge part of the show, just not this episode.
Okay, all right. Akiva, what in your mind is more implausible? The existence of a gargoyle king or the existence of a person with the name Ethel who is under 57 years old?
Yeah, I do think like she's the last living Ethel. And anytime I say that, like once we somebody said something about their grand, like somebody named Fanny. And I'm like, yeah, there's no Fanny under 90. And this guy's like, my grandma's name is Fanny. But so someone's going to write in and say that their like sister's name is Ethel and she's 22.
Okay.
Yeah, she is the last living Ethel, except I don't know how much longer she'll be living on this show.
Okay. Can anybody tell me about, so Ethel made out with Jughead?
Well, yeah, so it's in a Griffins and Gargoyle type thing. Jughead tries to complete a quest with her to get more information to solve like the murders and everything that's going on. Griffins and Gargoyles is a huge part of the early part of this season. So she like tricks him into kissing her because she is obsessed with him. And so in this scene, you get Ethel and Betty talking about the ship name Ethelhead. And so we actually have a game of ship names from the show and you can guess which one is the fake ship name and which one is the real ship name.
And do you guys understand the concept of ship names? Is that,
I think we do. I certainly do. Rob, you do, right? But either way, please explain.
Do I understand the concept of ship names?
Right.
I am Mr. Ship Names.
Yeah, okay. That's true. My favorite ship name, Titanic. Second, Lusitania. No, but can you...
not the Minnow?
The Minnow would be the SS Minnow. Can you guys explain it for the, you know, the Chesters out there, people who are not cool and older?
Yeah, so yes. Just for Chester, a ship name, it's something that I personally hate. Ship names are where you combine the two names of people in a relationship so that you can talk about them as the ship. Just like
Rob Kiva.
Yeah, like Rob Kiva, exactly. So we have four ship names.
Sister
for
Kiniko?
You.
I'm trying to think of something.
No, stop. How dare you? So we have four ship names here, and one of them is one that Mary and I made up on our podcast, and the other three are canon to Riverdale, okay?
Okay.
Hey, but I also, I'd like to think while we guess, what is the original ship name? Like, just in general, not on Riverdale. Like, who was the first ship people?
That's easy.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is... Hold on.
King David and Bathsheba.
Is that like Brangelina?
No. Ben Affleck and J-Lo.
What were they? Bennifer.
Bennifer.
Yeah. The Pitt and Jolie and Ben and Jen were definitely very early ones. That's a good point.
And they're also something that's used a lot in talking about fan fiction so that you know like which couple you're going to be reading about or whatever. But in the show Riverdale, what's weird is that they will call out a lot of the ship names, like the characters will refer to themselves by their ship names.
Okay.
I mean, she says, I want to have a ship name with him. That's like very like overt.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so I'm saying them on this podcast because I never say ship names on our podcast. And so now Mary won't be able to use the raw audio against me.
I usually take the raw audio of any time Kirsten can say it. And I use that to bleep out any curse words. So
it's really horrifying. Anyways, so the first ship name we have is Phallus.
Okay.
What?
Okay. The second ship name is Choni.
Choni.
The third ship name is Coos. And the fourth ship name is Veggie.
Veggie. Okay.
Well, we're supposed to guess which one is you guys made up and which one.
Which one did we make up?
Okay. Well, Veggie sounds like that could be Veronica and Reggie. So that sounds real. I think Phallus is the one that
you guys made up.
These two pervs made up because I don't think pervs. That a show like the network like the CW wants. Yeah. You know, they're talking to all these tweens.
This is a family show. By the way, my son walked in, the 5-year-old walked in while the show was on, and my wife was behind him. She's like, what are you watching? I'm like, you know, you remember Archie comics? She's like, not really. I'm like, well, this is Riverdale, the Archie comics. And she was probably thinking like, oh, you're like a 35-year-old man. Why are you watching the show? But I said it was for the podcast, and my son wanted to watch. And my wife's like, all right, this is probably like a G-rated show because it's Archie comics. And within 2 seconds, someone freaking pulled out a gun on Archie. My wife's like, all right, you're out of here.
So you are wrong. Phallus is a real ship name in the canon.
Who is it?
Who is it? It is FP, so Jughead's dad, and Alice, Betty's mom.
Okay.
Oh, there's a lot of parent hooking up.
There's not a lot of
river daddies and the
some.
River mommies.
There's definitely
don't
some.
Mommy ever, thank you.
Yeah, I'm not sure that anyone, I guess Hermione and Hiram Lodge are the only two.
Whoa, there's a parents. Or there's a Hermione?
That's the mom.
Yeah,
that's Veronica's mom. Yes.
Oh, yeah, I was going to, I thought maybe there was like a Harry Potter crossover episode that we didn't hear about.
Oh, my God.
Mm. Didn't they do a musical? Did they do a musical episode? Or are they doing a musical episode?
They've had two musical episodes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
The show's amazing.
And they're bad.
Okay. That is a debate. I think they're fantastic.
You're the only person who thinks that. So, yeah, the one that we made up was Coos, and that was Kevin and Moose. And the actual one I think they said was Mevin on the show, and we didn't like that. So we made up a new one.
Yeah, that's gross.
Yeah. Mevin is gross.
We like Coos or Moovin. Okay. We like those two much better.
All right. So just to close out this Betty storyline. So Betty, she is getting into a little bit of a heated argument with Ethel when Ethel discovers that Betty didn't take her medicine. She's like, oh, please don't tell anybody. I'm like, all right, fine. Well, I guess we're cool. But then Ethel is also telling Betty she's never going to get to meet the Gargoyle King. No matter what, that she's she can't ever meet the Gargoyle King. Then Betty is gonna make it her mission. Betty is very intrepid in terms of being a detective. How did she get so good at this?
She read a lot of Nancy Drew books, pretty sure. That's how we got here.
Is that faithful to the comics? Is Betty a super sleuth?
I don't remember.
There's nothing for them to really solve in the comics.
Okay.
But out of all these kids, you know, Archie tends to get the credit, but Betty is pretty much the one who solves every murder.
Yes. Very Inspector Gadget-esque.
You know what? Inspector Gadget's good. How dare you?
Okay. So let me just skip ahead to, there's a scene in the lunchroom where Betty publicly calls out Ethel in front of everybody. And talks about how Ethel hooked up with Jughead and really upsets Ethel. And then Betty fakes a seizure.
Right. And this is Betty's had several seizures up to this point in the series. And it's sort of unclear why on the show. No one knows why they're happening. But she fakes one, I guess, to go to the infirmary to steal some files or something. Mm-hmm. This whole plot line. It's a lot of nonsense.
Okay. So she ends up getting her files. She sees that they're giving her the fizzle rocks. And so she's like, aha, this is exactly what I need. And now I'll get out of there. X marks the spot. She goes through the basement and goes to a door. And she opens a door and there's like a brick wall behind it. And now here's Ethel. Here's the sister. Here's, you know, all of the guards from the infirmary, and they are now going to take her to go see the Gargoyle King. That's it.
Yeah, she is in big trouble.
Yes. And so basically, they're going to throw her in with the Gargoyle King. We hear her scream, and now Betty is like catatonic. She gets the Rorschach test again, and now there is no inner monologue. Now she's just saying exactly what she is seeing from the ink blots. And we now hear her to the Gargoyle King, who's now present in the room. My king, my savior, guide me through the night. Bless me with your darkness, Gargoyle King. There is only one king that I say to guide me through the night, and that is the King Cake Baby.
Mm-hmm. That's right. On this podcast.
Yes.
So this is heresy.
Gift me with your flight, King Cake Baby.
By the way, King Cake Baby, my savior. We were told that the New Orleans Pelicans were going to send us merch. Myself, you,
who
and Liana.
Who told you that?
A listener messaged me and said, my friend works for the Pelicans. They're sending you King Cake Baby stuff.
Where are they sending it?
Well, he's got to get the stuff. And then, I don't know, he's going to send it to like our houses. I don't know. But so, listener, if you're out there, you promised. And I don't know if he promised, but I'll say he did. We want our merch. We want our freaking King Cake Baby shirts and mugs and t-shirts.
Yeah. Or we're going to stand the Gargoyle King.
That's right. We will become Gargoyle stands.
I was going to say, I do know of at least one listener who has access to some Riverdale merch slash freebies that we could get if we want Riverdale hats.
Hmm. Okay.
I mean, we would take Gargoyle King hats, but only if the King Cake Baby really abandons us.
Yes. Why have you forsaken
us,
King Cake Baby? My king, my savior. Okay. All right. So, and that's Riverdale season 3, episode 7. So, Archie and Jughead on the lam. Archie getting a shave from the farmer's daughter. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Veronica runs a speakeasy and has a legal gambling night and heads up blackjack. And then Betty in the insane asylum ends up trying to pull one over on them and then ultimately ends up catatonic staring at the Gargoyle King.
Yeah, and I don't know if we really mentioned, but the whole Gargoyle King thing is, it's like, it's kind of a person, but it's never really stated whether or not people are hallucinating when they see him or if he's actually there. He looks a lot like the the bad guys from The Village movie.
Mm, yeah.
Sort of a twig monster in a robe with a head of an animal skull. And it's very unclear, but he's somehow controlling people, and it's related to this Griffins and Gargoyles game, but it's very unclear if he's actually a person or if he's just sort of a vision.
Okay. Akiva, do you have any other thoughts from this hour of television?
I really liked it. This was, in some ways, my favorite of the four or five, season 3, episode 7s we've done. Is it a great television show? No. Is it a good television show? Definitely not. But I think it is self-aware in its ridiculousness, and I think whereas the beginning they probably were struggling to find a tone and a voice, now they've realized it, and it's, you know, just lunacy. Like the even the drug that everyone's taking is completely silly. Everything, the Griffins and Gargoyles, everything about the show is silly and campy. And if you could, you know, suspend reality, then it's like, you know, they have the IP of characters that people like, or at least likeable. I think it's a lot of fun.
Well, that's what really confuses me about this whole project here, of that they have this intellectual property.
Yes.
That they've taken these characters, but really have just completely gone haywire into this whole different direction. And I just wonder, like, in terms of, like, thinking this through, could there be other projects like this where there's like some sort of intellectual property and like Garfield, like then it's like a complete like take that intellectual property and just spin it off into something
like
else.
He doesn't
different.
Even like lasagna. Like, literally, it's just Garfield. He looks a little bit like Garfield, and they got John and Odie or whoever. Like, he literally doesn't like lasagna.
He wouldn't even be a cat. He's like just like a kid with red hair.
He is lukewarm on Mondays. Like, it's a great point. Like, what if we could do this with other things? Like, what if we bring the Avengers, but they're just like kids in a sitcom?
Well, that's like a hot intellectual property. Like, I mean, nobody cared about Archie. Like, are there just other things?
So maybe it was cheap, Rob. It's a really good question. But like, because if they called the show Smithtown, and instead of Archie Andrews, they made up, you know, the name, John Davidson or whatever.
Oh, I thought it was going to be about Long Island.
No, well, it could be. But you know what I'm saying? Like the exact same show, but instead of Archie, Betty, and Veronica, it's just it's completely made up people. The show would not be 1% worse or better. But
would people have checked it out originally? It's almost
don't know, because Kirsten and Mary who are, you know, I guess they're in the CW demo, but they're not in the Archie reading demo necessarily. Like, even like Kirsten said she's read them, but I imagine most of her friends when she was growing up didn't, because most of my friends when I was growing up didn't. None of my friends did. Okay. I'm sure people were like, what's wrong with you? Why do you have this box of Archie comics?
So for Mary and Kirsten, if this show was the exact same show, but instead of Archie, that the main character's name was Artie, and it was Betsy and Vicky, and it was not tied into the original Archie Comics intellectual property, would you, A, have any awareness of this show, or B, any interest in watching it originally?
Well, I would have never known it existed, so I probably would have never watched it. But I think, like, one of the, like, most valuable parts of this is that it kind of builds into the broader Archie universe, and now there's all these spinoffs. So on Netflix, they have The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, which is, like, Sabrina is in the same world as Archie. So it's like, and it's written by the same person who writes Riverdale. So, by the way, it's literally insane.
Is Sabrina in Riverdale? Episode. Sorry.
No, Sabrina's in Greendale, which is a neighboring town.
Because she's in the universe. Like, actually, what they would do, I think, if I remember correctly, is Sabrina and Josie and the Pussycats, who have both had, and weirdly, they both had more of a run the last 20 years than Archie and Betty and Veronica did, like, until this show started, where, like, they would be in the comics, but not in the same world, where it's like, all right, now it's a break from, it's like Bao at the beginning of Incredibles 2. You know what I mean? It's like the same comic book, but they're not interacting with each other.
Yeah, exactly. And so now there's the opportunity for, like, the crossover episodes on the show, because there's another spinoff starting next year.
But there will be sci-fi then, right?
I don't know much about the world of the next.
No, well, Sabrina's literally a teenage witch, I'm saying. So if she comes on Archie.
Oh, yeah. Sabrina's very, very dark. Like, you literally will have scenes where they're like, okay, pray Satan. It's very, very dark. There's, like, straight up murder, blood, like, graphic.
But and this is on Netflix, right?
It's a Netflix exclusive.
Okay.
So I think the Riverdale thing, the way it worked was they just needed the Archie name to sort of get the ball rolling and to get CW to want to pick them up. But I mean, when they pitched the original show, it didn't have anything to do with murder or anything like that. It was, they had pitched the show about the characters living in Riverdale, and the TV execs basically said, yeah, I feel like you need to add a murder, and then we'll okay this pilot. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of where the whole thing came from. And then it just got, like you said, it's very self-aware. It knows how ridiculous it is, but it's really capitalized on the hot young actor thing. And a lot of these people have actually gone on so far to do other things, because it's been pretty much the breakout show of most of these child stars.
Okay. Akiva, I think that this is all very informative, that if you and I ever do reboot camp and have any other IP that comes across our desk, I think that this whole Riverdale experience has really helped me with be able to sort of like think outside the box when we start rebooting all these other different IPs that we talk about when we ever do that podcast.
It's a good idea. It's like we could reboot like Friday the 13th or, you know, some other horror movie. And it's like Michael Myers and Freddy Krueger, but they're not killers at all. They're just like best friends who own a coffee shop together.
It could be anything.
I think you're going the wrong way with that. You have to make it more ridiculous.
More ridiculous?
No, we're going the other way.
Like, if you're taking like a ridiculous horror movie and you're turning it into just like, no, they're just pals, I feel like you're going in the wrong direction.
Okay, so we need to take the mundane and then we have to make it crazy.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Makes sense.
Would it work the other way around?
No.
No.
Making things mundane is not great.
Guess so.
So in the interest of going through these crazy plot lines, there are a few plot lines that we have not talked about at all. And so we had one more question of which is the fake plot line. Mary, do you want to do this one?
Yeah, sure. So these are just from the series as a whole, not necessarily season three, but we thought they were just some, in case everything we've talked about here is not enough to hook you on Riverdale, maybe some of these will. There's some of these ideas. So there's, three real things that happened in Riverdale and one that we have created.
Okay.
All right. So the first one, Veronica's mom opens a brothel in Riverdale.
Okay, that sounds fake.
Number two, maple syrup has been used to torture people at least two different times.
Okay.
I think they spoiled that one, right? They said there's a lot of maple syrup in this show.
Yeah. We saw a maple syrup truck also at the insane asylum.
Yeah.
All right. Betty's mom gives away Betty's college savings to a cult.
That sounds right.
Yeah, I think they told us she's in a cult.
Yeah. Archie creates a high school vigilante group to taunt a serial killer.
Taunt a serial killer? That seems like a bad idea.
Yeah, terrible idea. Archie, what are you doing, man?
Yeah, what do you think, Akiva?
I think the first one is fake, but the fourth one is my second option. What do you think?
I could see Hermione starting up the brothel.
You're on a first name basis with her now?
Yeah. So I would say that I think that D is the fake one.
All right, let's go with D.
All right. D is true. That did happen. Archie did create the Red Circle vigilante group. You were very close, though, because while Hermione Lodge did not create a brothel or open a brothel, Cheryl's mother, Penelope Blossom, did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. See, the problem with these games is that Riverdale is so ridiculous that it was really hard to come up with fake plot lines because they've already done everything.
Kiva, I did look up Cheryl Blossom on Google, and yes,
too hot for TV.
Too controversial. I'm looking at the comic version. Too controversial.
I agree.
Yeah. Now, one thing we do at the end of every episode of our podcast is we try to decide who was the most normal person of the week, mm-hmm. which character was the most realistic. So I was curious to know if you guys from one episode thought one person was more normal than anyone else.
Principals of the leads?
No, it could be anyone.
Because I think Pop Tate is pretty normal, right? Yeah, other than that, he works for a high schooler.
They should spin him off. Like, I'd like to go follow Pop home and see what's going on.
And
in
it's
his
just like
house.
Very normal.
Follow someone home.
With the show, I want him to get his own like. Well,
you know who's
spin-off.
Also normal? We didn't see a ton of him this episode, but Reggie Mantle, who's a douche in sort of the canon of the show, is kind of normal here.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, we also had decided Pop was the most normal from this episode.
He is.
He's Pop normal. And Reggie are two of the most the people I push to have them as the most normal person the most times.
Yeah.
In the comic books, both Reggie and Pop, I believe, are white guys. But in the spirit of diversity, because it's a, you know, I believe every main character essentially is white. That they're both persons of color in the show, but not in the comic book.
Good for Riverdale.
It's not the 1950s anymore. So yes.
Yeah. We had a bit more diversity when Josie and the Pussycats were all on the show. Mm-hmm. Typically, it's just Josie nowadays, though.
Okay. All right. Anything else about Riverdale season 3, episode 7?
No.
If you want to redeem yourselves from getting two of our questions wrong, we have one more question of characters, but we don't have to do it if you don't want to.
Okay.
You can tie your score if you wanted to.
All right. Let's hear it real quick.
Okay. So I'll do four characters. One is fake. Oh, no, sorry. Five characters. One is fake. So we've got Baby Teeth, Papa Poutine, Cucumber Melon, Peaches and Cream, or Benjamin Button.
These are
characters
real
in the show. Named characters in the show. One of them is fake. The rest are real.
Can we hear them one more time?
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we've got Baby Teeth, Papa Poutine, Cucumber Melon, Peaches and Cream, or Benjamin Button.
You know, Kirsten is Canadian, so I'm going to guess Papa Poutine.
That's
is just
what I was
going to
guess
poutine.
Too. Yeah, they just want to. She just wants to push Canadian propaganda.
Yeah, this is like her. You know, when the show mentions Bumble, this is her mentioning poutine. Mm-hmm. It's a paid advertisement.
Mm. Is that what you're going with?
Yeah.
Yep.
No. So Cucumber Melon is the fake one. Papa Poutine is a real character who was murdered in, I believe,
where
season
did you get
two?
Cucumber Melon from
Papa Poutine?
There's a character named Sweet Pea, and Cucumber mm-hmm. Melon is another Bath and Body Works scent.
Oh, so. I was going to say, it's also my favorite LaCroix flavor.
Ah, yes.
Oh, good to know.
Yes. Okay. All right. Kirsten, do you get mad that the podcast is called Kowski Cast?
No, ooh, because I'm beef. Just along for the ride and I don't have to do any of the work. I think at a certain point, I'm going to have to change my last name to Kwiatkowski, though. I'm a little nervous about that, but we'll see what happens.
Okay. All right. What else do we need to know? Anything?
I think just watch Riverdale, check out our podcast, and we'll catch you up on anything else.
Okay. All right. The podcast is Kowski Cast. That's KOWSKICast.com if you want to hear more about Riverdale. Do you also podcast about revenge?
We do. The podcast, which was started by me and my sister, Laura, started with a revenge podcast and then segued into this Riverdale podcast. So we've got two different Riverdale podcasts. If you want to start back at season one, we have some season one podcasts. Okay,
so
well.
Kirsten replaced your sister on the podcast.
I'm her new sister.
Okay. Exactly.
Who's better, Laura Kwiatkowski or Kirsten McInnes? No G.
Well, Kirsten has a bigger Twitter following, so that's really...
Yeah. Oh, I get it.
She's just using me.
She threw her sister in the trash for Kirsten's Big Brother Canada followers.
Yeah, your sister was basically like the original Reggie.
She's Brian Dunkelman.
Yes, and she was recast with Kirsten McInnes, much
Kirsten
like Lloyd Braun.
The new Reggie.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I love that. I love the new Reggie. Yeah.
All right. Of course. Keeva, do you have any other questions?
No, I had a lot of fun watching. I hope you enjoyed yourself, Rob. This show is absurd.
Yes, a lot of fun. I was wrong that this was a great podcast.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, we could still mess it up in the mailbag segment.
We probably will. Okay, of course, you can follow Kirsten on Twitter. She is at Kirsten Said What. And of course, you could follow.
Can you grade her Twitter handle from 1 to 10 quickly for us, please?
Okay, Kirsten.
Mm-hmm.
Kirsten is
a first name to spell.
Yeah. But look, it's strong because she does not have any underscores. That she could not get her name, but she's got a a play on her name. Kirsten said, "What? Very strong. 8 out of 10."
Mm-hmm. And Frail Mary's a 10 out of 10.
Frail Mary is a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Oh wow!
Thank you. Look,
I'm leaving now.
Well, you're leaving after 8 out of 10.
Yeah,
that's a compliment. Kiva like is a 4 last week.
He was a 6 out of 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keeve 26 is just not as strong as Kirsten said what. There should be more of a gap.
It's too
there,
long. Kirsten said what. I'm not gonna like. Let's say I'm like.
Let's
say someone
to?
Wants to cancel you, Kirsten. So they go to Twitter search and they have to type in Kirsten said what. You know, from .. Kirsten said what space, and then like whatever like term that you use that they want to cancel you for.
But you can That's remember that. You've got a chance to remember it. It is very good.
I thought
what
she was Kristen
to
for like
to
2 years.
To get a 10 out of 10?
I don't know if you can. I don't know if you can.
Exactly. What would be better? I have a hard name with lots of consonant sounds.
Look,
just K-Mac. K-M-A-C. That's a 10 out of 10. Can you get K-Mac from somebody?
I don't want that.
Yeah.
At Keeve got a lot of followers, Rob, this week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
She got a lot of followers. She's going to be big in her
britches. Frail Mary, 10 out of 10. And I give out a lot of medicine to people on the Twitter handles, but I also feel like I like to be effusive with my praise when people have a good Twitter handle.
Well, and you say a lot that you should just stick with the name, but when your last name's Kwiatkowski, I think
you have to mix it up, but it has to be memorable too.
Exactly, and I think I should get bonus points for my.
Well, you're already 10 out of 10, Mary, so let's not get greedy.
Okay.
All right. By the way, at KMAC is Kate McKenzie. She's an Australian researcher and writer about climate finance. That sounds insanely boring. So Kirsten McGinnis is a much better follow than KMAC.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but she's verified.
Mm. Yeah, she is verified.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, mm-hmm. There's no way I could get this from her. She has over 9,000 followers.
Mm. Yeah, it would cost like $1 million probably. I don't think I have that
kind of money. I didn't even get on Big Brother, let alone win it.
Okay. All right. Well, anything else that you want to impart on us before we get into talking about the wheel?
I would like to plug one thing.
Yes.
This is coming out on like next weekend, right?
Probably it's going to drop sometime on Saturday or Sunday.
Okay, so the Thursday after this drops, I will have an episode of a podcast. It's called Word on the Straits, Straits spelled STR8S. It's a really fun podcast by a fan of RHAP. I love his podcast, and I'm going to be guesting on it while I'm in New York, and I think everyone should check it out because it's going to be really fun.
Okay. So you're going to New York to guest on this podcast?
Well, no, I'm going on New York for a vacation, and then because I'm in town, they asked if I could get on. They've just been trying to get a Canadian guest for a long time.
Can we ask who this mystery person is?
His Twitter username is @SamStanish. He's very funny.
Okay, Sam Stanish, Word on the Street, and Kirsten McKinnis
will
be a guest.
Sounds like he's Stanish's Kirsten.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, and Mary, what do you have coming up?
I'm typically on the Saturday morning updates for Rob has a podcast for the Big Brother Canada stuff. So you can find me there. Other than that, check out my podcast and feel free to tweet at me Harry Potter trivia questions. If you can stump me, I will follow you.
Okay.
All right.
There you go. Mary, do you know what house Akiva and I are?
That's a good question because I don't remember.
To the Harry Potter.
But do you podcast. Remember?
Guys, do I remember? I remember it being shocking because we thought you both were going to be Slytherin, and then Akiva,
oh my god, let's hang up on them, Rob.
Hey, I'm a proud Slytherin. How dare you?
I'm nice. I'm not a Slytherin. I'm a nice
I'm
guy.
Nice.
I want people to
I'm
like
nice.
Me.
No,
do Slytherins guess people's ambitious. Weights?
Exactly. I think one of you ended up being a Gryffindor, if not both of you.
Me.
Right? No,
Rob was
a Hufflepuff. And Akiva lied right. and said he was a Gryffindor, but he wasn't.
I didn't lie. I think I mixed them up and made them
No, you literally changed halfway through. So it's like, who knows?
Because they're the same to me, Gryffindor and all
I think
of them.
He got confused.
I know Slytherin's bad and Hufflepuff is Mike Bloom. That's all
okay,
I know.
No, Slytherin is not bad. There's good qualities in all the houses, but the entire Harry Potter series is framed around a Gryffindor who doesn't know any good Slytherin. So obviously they
it's
come
true.
Across as the bad
it
guys.
Is,
but
the whole
not.
Book is
there
racist against Slytherins.
Slytherins. Mm-hmm. I'm a Slytherin, and I'm not
Slytherin
truly
bashing.
A bad person.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah, I have had enough of the Slytherin erasure.
Okay. All right. So Mary and Kirsten, thank you for all of your great work today on the podcast. Everybody should check out KowskiCast.com.
Yes. Thank you for having us.
All right, Akiva, we are ready for the wheel spin for episode, or at least talking about what's going into the wheel, the fishbowl, the various mechanisms that we have for picking episodes of the podcast for an episode that we will have in 2 weeks here on Robin Akiva Need a Podcast.
Yep, taking a week off. I do think let's start with the mechanisms because that was a hot topic this week.
Yeah. Also, I just want to say thanks again to our outstanding guests, Mary and Kirsten, for being with us on the podcast. And if it took less than 2 hours to talk about a Riverdale episode, definitely would have been invited to do the wheel spin here with us. But we are inside baseball that we are recording this a couple days later.
Yep. Yeah. It was 10 hours to record that last part. We just had to take a break.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Akiva. So, yeah, let's talk about some of these mechanisms.
Okay, so we discussed last week what happens if we bring back episodes in a separate sequel basket type of thing. The idea was originally from Jess East, who said a mini wheel within a wheel, but I think I'm all wheeled out. I think one wheel to rule them all. I don't think we need multiple wheels.
A wheel within a wheel is not as exciting for me either.
And so my idea was we have random listeners, pets pick, let's say there's three shows in this, basically we're talking about shows that we've already done and we're doing the sequel to that episode. So let's say you'd have three tennis balls that would be numbered 1, 2, and 3 and the dog or the cat or the iguana would pick. Right. And nobody was interested in that. I thought people love pets. You nixed it. I thought everyone would be on my side, but truly nobody was on my side. But we got a bunch of suggestions saying just use the 20-sided die from the discarded Dungeons and Dragons idea, and I do have one. So we have a 20-sided die that we'll use. I guess it'll be like 1 through 6 will be one idea if we have three ideas, and 7 through 12 and 13 through 18, whatever it is. So that is the sequel 20-sided die. That is the mechanism to pick that that type of show.
We don't want to get like a dartboard involved or anything.
We can, but a 20-sided die isn't like super visual. If you have a dartboard, God bless you.
I definitely don't in the studio.
So neither do I. And if I did, my kids would like be throwing them at me at this point, probably. So
yes. Okay. Fine.
But I think the 20-sided die works. We could roll the 20-sided die.
If this is the sequel episode. So if it's something that gets a renewal, then it goes into the mechanism that we still have to talk about how it's going to go onto the wheel. And then there will be a 20-sided die roll to determine which thing comes up from the pickup for another round of that idea.
Correct. Okay. The other sort of related thing in terms of ideas that are getting more than one spot on the wheel is there was a lot of backlash, I feel like, to season 3, episode 7. Essentially,
we don't like backlash.
Yeah. Not. What about the movie and the ride in Universal Studios?
That was backdraft.
We don't
care for that. But
I had backlash, like a panic attack the first time I did that ride because like you think you're going to burn. It gets like really hot. I was a little kid.
I remember going to Universal Studios in like 2006 and they still had like a backdraft attraction. I'm like, really? Isn't this like this movie? It's like sometimes they have that at like a studio theme park where there is a attraction to a movie that is from like way outdated. Like they need to retire this. Yeah, the movie Backdraft was from 1991.
Yes, it was old. Ron like Howard. When I was a little kid and I went on the ride. It was like and I've never seen that movie. Is there sort of a demand for a new fire movie, like the heroes are firefighters? I feel like there is
a fire movie. I feel like we have a lot of fire TV shows, but a movie. I think that we did we have the Towering Inferno recently?
I'm not sure.
Was The Rock in that? I feel like that every movie The Rock makes is some sort of a something like that.
He's fighting
Towering
a fire.
Inferno. Did they recently remake it? I don't know. It's basically like, I know The Rock did a movie. There was a skyscraper that was burning.
So the question is, should we lessen the power? People think that season 3, episode 7 is too powerful. Should we lessen the power. And here's one suggestion. After it gets picked, it can't be picked the next week. Basically, it gets zero spots on the wheel. The week after that, it gets one spot on the wheel. The week after that, it gets two spots on the wheel.
Say this again.
Basically, you can't have back-to-back season 3 episode 7s anymore, so it would go down to zero instead of going right back to 2. And then the next week, it would go to 0 to 1 to 2. And then the question is, does it ever get bigger than 2?
Mm.
I like it. I don't think we should have back-to-backs of any episode.
I guess so. I guess we could drop it back down to 0. I'd be willing to like play the percentages of just letting it be a 1 spot instead of a 2. But if this is from Aisha or this is your pitch?
A bunch of people sort of, like a lot of people had similar
ideas. I'm not going to die on this hill of whether it should be a 0 or 1.
Then do you think
one.
It could get back beyond 2? Like, does it grow to 3 and 4 and 5?
We got a whole fishbowl full of ideas. I think let it get bigger. I think that playing the percentages, I mean, mm-hmm. how long without a season 3 episode 7? And then it was like the random luck of the draw that we had a couple in a row. I'm not convinced it's like, oh my God, hey, we just flipped the coin and came up tails 3 times. I think the coin is loaded. Let's get rid of the coin. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's fine. Let's not sweat this.
Okay, but you're agreeing that we will push it back down to 0
this
week.
We'll push it back down to 0. It will not be a season 3 episode 7 for the podcast that we are doing in 2 weeks, but I don't think mm-hmm. that we need to really over-address this problem.
Okay, fine. All right, so let's get into the mailbag and see what's on Mount Rahatmore this week.
Okay.
Or Mount Rahatmore, I guess. Mm-hmm. Curtis says, every show has a season finale to wrap up loose plot strings and provide some fan service. My podcast idea is Rob and Akiva end the Renap season. Mm-hmm. You might discuss or rank your favorite characters, episodes, or moments of the first season of Renap. You could also determine who the main protagonists or antagonists were. Express your wishes for what you want to see more of in episode 2 and just take an hour to congratulate yourselves on how far you've come since the first season began. You could present this as a low prep discussion, an award show, or whatever other format makes sense. All right. Here's the thing. I don't know if his idea makes sense other than should we have a season finale at any point?
And what would we have, a cliffhanger? What would be the point of the season finale? Are we
I'm not sure.
Kill a
what
character
if, like,
off?
What if we shake up the wheel? Like everything, we kill things off the wheel. Like season finale, sometimes they kill characters. Or what if we just wipe the whole wheel slate clean?
I don't want to wipe the whole wheel slate clean.
What if at the end of 2019, all the ideas that don't get used, like, they die?
No, I don't think this is a good idea because we don't have that many good ideas that come in every week. So then we're starting from scratch.
Right. I agree.
At the end of the podcast, that's what I say. Yeah. In the series finale, ideas we don't use then are just, they're off the wheel.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
After the last episode.
Okay. All right, this is from Mouth Zip.
But I am open to the idea of some sort of a season finale where ideas get killed off the wheel, that maybe we kill off a recurring character or a bit.
Oh, who do you think, if we killed off a recurring character, who do you think would get killed off?
What recurring character could be killed off the podcast? Well, it's got to be somebody impactful.
Yeah, I mean, do you think we'd kill Chester?
He's too good as somebody who gets people upset. Yeah.
You don't want to kill the King Cake Baby, right?
Oh, certainly not. No. But who knows? You know, the podcast killed off Shut Up Tim on the series finale?
That's
you
possible.
Can't do it now because you said it. But I think that really could get people talking.
All right, that's a Shut Up. That's a good episode. Like Shut Up Tim dies. We kill off Shut Up Tim. All right.
Just as a podcast character.
Not in real life. This is from Mouth Zip Zachary.
But his death should be a meaningful death. It should be like
obviously it's not going to be off screen. It would be a big sort of it would be like an ER season finale, like the emergency room explodes and he saves a baby
and he died saving an idea.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mouth Zip Zachary says my idea is called the Final Four. Rob and Akiva watch the final 4 minutes of 4 different movies that neither have seen before and try and decide what happens in the film.
Mm.
I kind of like this, to be honest.
The issue is that I feel like that we know the synopsis from a lot of films. So
speak for yourself. I don't know.
You don't know.
We could choose. So I spoke to this person. I went back and forth a little bit with this person. And I think the idea would be they would be classic films in like the IMDb top 250.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be, you know, if you know what happens in a movie, we'll just knock it out. Like we don't have to pick. He suggests a couple of movies, but you don't have to pick any movie that you know what happens.
Mm-hmm.
We'll, with the 250 different movies, we'll be able to pick four that we are totally unfamiliar with.
Yeah. And is there a movie expert on with us to tell us if we're right or wrong? Are we just going to read the Wikipedia after?
I mean, I don't know why we would like ruin it by getting it right. I guess, yeah, we'll read the Wikipedia maybe after.
But do we want to know if we're right?
I don't know. I think we're just going to like be super confident and pretend that we're 100% right.
Okay.
I don't think we need a movie expert for this one, actually. I think it works better with that one. I like the final four. It's just 4 minutes. It's not a lot of watching. It's 4 minutes of the last of four movies.
Mm-hmm.
It might be fun to like pick the movies if it ever comes up on the wheel. He suggests Citizen Kane, Gone Girl. Do you know how Citizen Kane ends?
Yes.
All right. So it couldn't literally be Citizen Kane. But all right. Let me read some movies from the IMDb top 250. And you see okay. if these are movies that you like are familiar with how they end. He also suggests Mamma Mia and Freaked. But this was before the idea.
What's the second one?
Freaked. I don't know what that is. Yeah, I don't know what it is. All right, so the top of the IMDb top 250 is, other than Shawshank, is like a lot of Godfathers and Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
12 Angry Men. Have you ever seen any of the versions of 12 Angry Men?
I don't know if I've ever seen it. I know the play. I know that we read it in high school. I don't know if we ever watched a movie.
Fight Club. You've seen Fight Club, right?
Yes.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Know the plot, but it's not a movie I'm very familiar with. I would start at like 250 and go up from the bottom as opposed to. Oh,
so you're saying Too Beloved. We're too famous right now.
Yeah, I think.
But again, this isn't most popular. This is.
But a lot of these movies are, you know, super referenced in pop culture. And even if I don't know the movie, then, you know, that they're iconic movies that, you know, people.
That's fair. Raging Bull.
I don't think I ever watched that one. I
have no idea what it ends.
With Taxi Driver. Yeah, I don't. I don't know what the ending is.
All right, so that could be one. The Elephant Man.
Hmm. I know the story. I don't know what the ending is.
Chinatown with Jack Nicholson and Faye Dunaway.
Yeah. I know that it's a famous last line. I'm pretty. You know, I read a lot of screenwriting books at one point, so they talk a lot about Chinatown.
Hmm. Wild Strawberries by Ingmar Bergman.
That's one I don't know.
Yeah, so that would be a good one, Ingmar Bergman. The Bridge on the River Kwai.
I know it's from the song We Didn't Start the Fire.
Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
I know that people make a lot of jokes about that title.
Uh-huh. The Grand Budapest Hotel.
Hmm. That is
a recent Wes Anderson film.
Yeah.
I have no idea what it's about.
I mean, is this better or worse to do like super, you know, well-made movies or crappy movies?
Well, we already I thought about this. I think we already have like a crappy movie mechanism. I think so. The move here, because otherwise there's no difference between watching the like we might just do this and be like, hey, let's just watch the last 4 minutes
right.
of North.
But the. Ending of Chinatown, for instance, is like what we come up with is not going to be that wacky because we know that, oh, well, this is not like going to go be off the rails, that this is a famous movie. Whereas if we were talking about the last 4 minutes of Shazam or Kazam, like that might be, you know, who knows how we got there.
Right. Okay. That's an interesting point.
It depends. If the goal is to show how stupid we are, then it should be good movies. If the goal is to be, you know, be funny, then I think we should pick bad movies.
Mm-hmm. Can we be stupid and funny? How would that work?
I guess we could do
two classics and two like awful movies.
Yeah,
that's not a bad idea.
Okay. All right. You want to put this on?
You want to put it on
the wheel?
I think so.
Okay. Let's.
It's a one-time thing. It's not like one of these mechanisms that you know is constantly there.
Put it through. I feel like it's not quite. It's
Do you think it's a half-baked idea right now?
It's half-baked, to be honest.
All right. So let's see. We got 2 weeks till our next.
Okay, but I'm fine with putting it through.
Okay, let's put it on the wheel. But we're still looking for
who's picking more... the movies. Is somebody? Is this mouth trumpet? Who's this?
Mouth zipped Zachary.
Like he has a secret.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know what his deal is.
Mouth zipped Zachary.
Yeah. Here's we discussed.
Do you think that's
temporary...
a nickname just for the podcast, or do you think that he goes by hey, Mouth Zip?
I think that's on his driver's license. It says Mouth Zip Zachary.
Okay.
We had discussed doing a temporary Marvel Universe podcast.
Too late.
But is it too late? Because yes. I think that movie. Do you know when that movie's coming out?
I think very soon. Endgame release date coming
out? I think the weekend we come back and
April
do another
26, 2019.
So should we have a one-time slot, maybe two spots on the wheel, where it would be like that weekend that the Marvel movie comes out, we get like a Marvel expert in here, because that it'll be all the rage.
Yeah, but this is going to be too much of it. I think that at that point, okay, Everybody's going to be doing the podcast. I think that our window, unfortunately, has closed.
Okay, fine. Alexander Chester says, do a whole podcast of F, Marry, Kills.
Oof.
I feel like if it was 2014, that would be good. I don't know if we'd get away with that in 2019.
Like, does he have any examples? Like, does he have are these people? Are these concepts?
I think it's everything. I think it's people. I think it's concepts. It could be like baseball, basketball, and football. It could be, summer, winter, and fall. But it could also be...
I'll tell you what.
That's.
Yeah. I would listen to a full podcast of F, Marry, Kill on 32 Fans.
All right, so fine. We'll do it on 32. I like it. So 32 Fans, for people who don't know, we talk about football from August until the Super Bowl. But then we have 6 months a year with nothing scheduled, and it's very stressful for me because Chester's useless, and I mostly have to come up with 6 months of ideas all on my own, which is annoying because I have a whole other podcast that the whole idea is just coming up with ideas. So now I got to think of two podcast ideas every single week.
Yeah.
At least the listeners help with this one. Look, the 32 Fans listeners are useless.
I am a Chester stan. I want to listen to a podcast of Chester doing F, Marry, Kill.
Mm-hmm. By the way, for people who are listening at home and don't normally listen to 32 Fans, the first 10 minutes this week are an instant classic. We do an NBA preview after this, but you have like listen to Chester.
I'll be out for the NBA preview.
Yeah, but just listen to the first 10, 15 minutes where Chester drops a shocking parenting story.
Can't wait.
Okay, well, here's another idea. It's from Kevin. It's called Robin Akiva Plan My Honeymoon.
Okay.
Kevin says, my fiance and I are getting married on July 12th this year, and following the wedding, we're taking our honeymoon to Maui. I'm already sort of mad because I would have liked to choose where they go for their honeymoon.
Okay.
I don't know if that's negotiable. So he says, my idea is that you guys would discuss some ideas for excursions, food, sightseeing, anything really that's there for us to do while we're in Maui. We're staying on the other side of the Lahaina side. That doesn't mean anything to me. I've never been to Hawaii. Have you ever been to Hawaii, Rob?
No, I have not.
I have not been to Hawaii. So you guys could talk through why why things would be worth doing, come up with one idea or a whole list of ideas that my fiance and I would have to do while on the trip. During the trip, we could record some commentary about us doing what was chosen, maybe even in the moment if it works out. Then afterwards, you guys could play it, the audio and see how it went.
Yeah.
Maybe even have us on the show. He's pitching himself.
Mm-hmm.
If I haven't totally sold you yet, I would say you have not, Kevin. Let me give you some information about us. My fiance, Samantha, doesn't listen to the show.
Okay.
Yeah, that was going to
be my next question.
Yeah, but I did try to get her to write in about her weird eating habits. While eating pizza, she'll take the first few bites and then proceed to tear the remaining portion in half, eat the crust parts first, and then the portions with toppings. I'm confused. Can we figure this out for a second?
So she takes a few bites from the front, from the mm-hmm. top of the triangle,
yeah.
And then... Yeah. She will then rip the pizza in half, and then I guess.
But is she
backwards.
Ripping it down the middle, or is it like is she ripping like the pointer side and the crust side?
In my mind,
from each
I think
other?
She's starting in the middle of the crust and tearing it down the middle, and then
okay,
eating.
So it's like making two little slices, like you do for your children.
Yeah, I guess so. And then eating the so I think that it sounds to me like she's trying to doesn't want to eat it too fast.
I like that. Do you ever like realize like, hey, I'm a pig who eats food too fast. I'm gonna like savor these next few bites,
mm-hmm.
and then you're like, oh, I should always do this. It's like it's much better, and then you end up eating less if you just sort of eat slower. And then, but I don't actually proceed to continue doing that after that.
Akiva, I didn't tell you this, but I actually decided this past week that I was officially retiring from talking about my own personal eating on the podcast.
Okay, so you could just listen to me talk about it from this podcast or all podcasts? Is it too personal?
Yeah, too much feedback. Too much feedback.
I have to admit, Rob, that's a little soft. Like, it's not like if you had said politics, I'd be like, yeah, that's a good idea.
No,
like,
let's I get talk too politics.
Much... Okay, let's so talk it's politics. Less. It's less. Rob would rather like do a half hour
talk
on
about
Ilhan
my 2016
Omar than
ballot,
pizza,
actually, instead.
Okay. Let's compare the 2020 Democratic primary candidates to characters on The Walking Dead.
As long as it's not food, that's fine.
As long as it's not food. Well, they are kind of food if The Walking Dead characters get them and eat them. He concludes with, I consider myself a reluctant millennial born in 1988. I teach first grade. And just getting to Hawaii will be its own story because I don't like flying or heights.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Kevin. You know, I think that, you know, have a fun time on your honeymoon. We don't need to subject Samantha to this kind of torture.
Because then there's like we have to put it in the sequel, 20 Side of Die. Kevin gets a divorce, I feel like. If he includes too much of like a podcast she doesn't listen to as part of the honeymoon, might not be great.
Okay, you know what? Work it out with Samantha. See what she wants to do. Leave Akiva and I out of this. That ask our own wives.
Imagine if we pick something like he's afraid of heights. Let's say she hates swimming, and we like have them, or like she hates like whales, and we have them go like whale
watching
or something.
Probably hates us.
Definitely. But like, imagine, and then she's mad at him, and he's like, "It's not my fault. It's the guys from the podcast."
Yeah.
And like, so she's mad at us. She's mad at him. It's all bad.
Look,
there's no upside to this idea, Kevin. Yeah. For you,
mm-hmm.
None.
And I'm already going to heaven.
I like the idea in general. Like, if he said plan my wedding or plan where I go on my honeymoon, let's say he wrote in, Rob, and said money is no object. My fiance and I are going on a honeymoon after we get married. You guys can pick, and we would do a whole draft. I feel like that would be fun. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that? You don't think that would be a good idea?
What are we drafting? The destination of the honeymoon?
Like if they said like you could pick anywhere in the world. So me and you like worked out where they would go and they would actually follow through. I think that would be fun.
What do I know about where people should go on a vacation?
That's why it would be fun. I don't know. We'd send them to like Reykjavik, Iceland or something.
You know,
I don't know.
If they want us to pick out what movies should we watch on the flight? Okay, sure.
Mm.
But, you know.
How about let's pick, give them a movie. What movie should they watch on the flight? You give them one, I'll give them one.
I would say
do like something Chinatown. Romantic. Okay, I say Dear Zachary. Anyway, so I hope they have a great time on their honeymoon in Maui or
Backdraft.
Hawaii. That's not bad. Is there a movie where like something horrible happens in Hawaii? Honeymoon from Hell or something.
Yeah, probably.
That's too much power. You know, on the Seinfeld podcast, we didn't get invited to like make podcasts, give us work. We had listeners like who would always invite us to their weddings or bachelor parties.
Mm-hmm.
On Renap, that has not happened yet. We have not been asked to like MC any weddings or go to anybody's bachelor party.
I know. That's what you're really higher on that idea than I am.
Which idea?
Going to people's weddings.
No, I would never go. First of all, like, are they going to get me kosher food? Like, it's kind of tricky.
You want to be invited, though.
Yeah, I want to be invited. You mean like when I say like, oh, like Taylor Cotter didn't invite us to her wedding, famous mm-hmm. people like that.
Yes.
Yeah. No, of course. It's very insulting.
You get a lot of feedback on that?
I think the feedback was there was like 20 people invited to her wedding. I don't think we were someone who never met her was going to make. I think she said this on the podcast when we called her up, though.
Mm-hmm. And no chance she's awake right now.
At this part in the episode, she might not listen to the podcast.
I think she was asleep by the Veronica plot in Riverdale.
She's probably a cursed Dan. She's probably a cursed Dan. She probably listened to the whole thing. I don't know. She's also on the wheel because she got her census ID on the wheel. We might be speaking to her next week or in 2 weeks.
All right.
Oh, let's do one more because we're taking off a week. Okay. We get a bonus sixth slot on Mount Renatmore. Don says, what about Rob and Akiva switch places? For one episode only, Rob and Akiva switch places and assume the roles and duties of the other. In this instance, I hope he doesn't have me edit it, because then it will be bad. Rob, could you rate my technical abilities just in general in life on a scale of 1 to 10?
Yeah, I mean, probably not super high. I mean, sometimes, I mean, you do, you know, it's sometimes you are amaze me with what you're able to do. And then other times, you know, surprise me with what you're not able to do. So I'll say a 4 out of 10.
Oh, that's not so bad. So he says, Akiva would host the podcast, do the intros, play the straight man, while Rob creates his own Mount Renatmore. Are you normally the straight man on the show?
I mean, I didn't really think so.
Yeah, I thought we were just like two wacky guys. I don't think there was a straight man.
See, on some of the podcasts, like I'm more of the wackier guy. In other podcasts, yes. I'm more of like I have to basically go either way.
On News AF, are you wacky or the straight man?
Straight man.
You're the straight man on News AF. Okay. When are you the wacky guy?
Survivor Know-It-Alls.
Okay, fair. Fair. Interesting. But do you like think about it like that, or just like in
if the person is wackier than me, I'm the straight person. Mm-hmm. If I'm more wacky than the person I'm talking to, they're the straight person.
And you think we're equally wacky?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think I sort of like do the business of the podcast, but I don't think that it's necessarily.
Well, you're always the host. I think even if you're the wacky guy and not the straight man, you're still probably the host.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but it's like if I'm talking to, you know, Bryce Isaiah, like I'm sort of more into like that he.
You're the John Stockton. You're dishing out the assists.
Right. Right. But if I'm talking to somebody who's more buttoned up, then, you know, it's sort of my job to keep it loose.
OK. So he says, if this pick from the wheel, the two of you will conduct a normal episode, which they would handpick from this. So it's a regular episode. But this is sort of like a mechanism, meaning if it's on the wheel, this is not the episode is not me and you switch places. It's just we're switching places for a different episode.
Say that one more time.
You follow. Basically, Don is saying it's not a standalone episode called Rob and Akiva Switch Places. If this comes up on the wheel, we respin the wheel and we could pick literally anything. But on that episode, we'd be switching places.
No, losing me on that. It's a modifier of a different idea. Mm-hmm. So I was with you. On the first part.
Well, what do you want to do? You want to do a full episode where we just switch places? Like, there's no content
Then, but it should be its own thing. So put it in the waiting room and see if you can marry it to something else that we're not doing. But then, like, it's a switcheroo episode, and then it's, you know, now the Royal Rumble. Now, you're me and I'm you for a whole different idea. So it's too much. It's an idea on an idea. I'm with you on. Okay, let's switch places. Rob and Akiva trading places, but then also come up with what we're doing.
Okay. So I think he was actually being polite and like, I'm not good enough to have my own idea. Okay, well, I just have a modifier.
It's a good start of an idea, but we need to figure out what we're doing after we trade places.
All right, you want one more quickly? Sure. Michael, I don't know if this is Michael Clark or not. I don't know. Says Rob and Akiva go on alternate timelines. Rob and Akiva each spin the wheel without showing each other the result and prepared for separate podcasts.
Rob and Akiva spin the wheel without showing each other the results and prepare to go on separate podcasts?
Mm-hmm.
How does that work?
I guess it would be like a double episode. I think it's tricky because so much of the show is so many things on the wheel require both of us to prep.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so if it was like a season 3, episode 7, first of all, I don't know if it was season 3, episode 7 for me, how I would trick you into the finding something from the fishbowl.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then also, who's watching the episode? Like, just me?
Mm.
I don't know how well thought out this was, even though it's a funny idea.
Yeah, I mean, I could see it maybe more where, like, okay, we are going to leave the podcast for the wheel spin, and then we don't get to talk to each other about what the wheel spin is going to be. And then we just show up to the next episode, not having talked about what we're going to talk about. Maybe that might be some juice, but I don't know how we're pulling it off where we're spinning the wheel separate and both preparing for, you know, different episodes.
Yeah. I think we're getting complicated now.
Getting complicated. Yeah. Okay. All right. So, are we running out of ideas? Is it time to start to think about maybe taking stock of that? Did we run our course here?
I don't think so. I didn't, you know, I didn't drop every single good idea. We put one on the wheel. And also, the thing is, some of the smaller ideas, like some of the bigger ideas, like season 3, episode 7, are monopolizing, but we have like 10 ideas on the wheel that I'm legitimately very excited about. Okay. I feel like the wheel is loaded right now.
All right. So let me get back to you with something we were talking about earlier in the podcast. I cannot make a space on the wheel that is zero spaces. That is not possible.
All right. So if it comes up, it just technically has zero spaces.
So it technically has zero, but it will, in fact, have one spot on the wheel, season 3, episode 7.
And then how many does Renap sequels have this week?
Okay. Then the sequel, it's really only two things, right? There's only the Conspirapod and what's the other one?
Conspirapod and Brand Steel with the Renap All-Stars.
Okay. And those are only two ideas?
Correct.
Okay. How do we cast the Renap All-Stars? Hypothetically, say that came up.
Let's say that comes up right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, did I already sort of like cast it in case you asked that question? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't fully cast. I just like wrote down a bunch of possibilities. Ideally, I think we spend like 20 minutes at the beginning of a show doing that, or we could even if it comes up, we could just spend the 20 minutes now.
Yeah, well, I don't even know if it needs to be part of the podcast. I think that we can have that conversation.
The one thing
offline
is that people did say, and I agree with the Brand Steals that I'm not on. These are the fake Survivor seasons for people listening mm-hmm. at home. I think part of a big part of the fun is casting the cast.
Yeah.
So I do think that should be
eats up a lot of the time. So if you're an hour into it and you haven't started playing the game, then you're out of gas by the end of it. So just from a podcasting perspective, mm-hmm. you're much better off coming in. All right, well, let's tell you who's playing.
Okay.
We need to have that conversation.
Okay, that's not a problem.
Okay. So here we go. All right. So season 3, episode 7 has one spot on the wheel. Cannot get picked for the episode in 2 weeks. Coin flip has never come up. Rob or Akiva will ultimately pick which idea we end up doing. The Oregon Trail is still out there. The rise and fall of JTT. MTV.
We need a guest for the Oregon Trail.
I don't think so. I mean, maybe in a future timeline, maybe down the road. Perhaps we could see if like Aubrey Bracco wants to play the Oregon Trail with us, but mm-hmm. We don't have one right now. Unless there's an Oregon Trail.
Do you think why we associate Aubrey Bracco with the Oregon Trail? Why is she like? Is she a big fan? I don't even remember.
She gave a quote in she's like, you know what? Survivor is like playing the Oregon Trail. Sometimes you're able to fjord the river, and other times somebody gets dysentery.
Should we like take it off the wheel until she could do a podcast?
No, we don't even know if she would do it.
I know, but maybe it's worth asking.
This is where we get ourselves into trouble. The ideas mm-hmm. have to stand on their own. Look what happened to us with Caitlin Herman and the life coach. We said, we're all excited.
That's not on the wheel this week, right?
For 2 weeks from now. I don't know. It's anybody's game, but this is where we go back to the age old question of guests versus no guests.
Yeah.
And, you know, the guests throw a monkey wrench into this. Like the mm-hmm. ideas need to stand on their own.
Monkey wrench. Should we get Dave Grohl on the podcast?
Another guest. I don't know if we can get mm-hmm. him.
Okay. Yeah. I don't think we can get him.
All right. MTV shows are trash. Any thawing between you and Allie Lasher and Brian Cohen?
I'm still banned, I think. Mm-hmm. And no, I think right now it's like the Hatfields and the McCoys if they were all Jewish. It's not better. I don't know if she'll even agree to come on the podcast if it gets picked, but we'll see.
Okay. Life coach, I guess, is still in there. Infomercials are trash with Eric Stein, who I spoke to recently about this particular idea. The Royal Rumble is still out there.
Yeah, I emailed Brant and I said, is it ready? And he said, it will be ready in 2 weeks if it gets picked right now.
There's the crappy movie diaper. That is a two spotter.
Mm-hmm.
Total Idea Request Live.
Yep.
Millennials killed it.
Possibly with Amanda Urbanowitz.
Okay. Win Shut Up Tim's Money.
Possibly with Shut Up Tim if we don't kill him off.
Census.
With Taylor Cotter.
Okay. Sequel Mechanism.
I thought
Mechanism.
Of some good census questions this week, by the way. I would be happy if that gets
picked. That's good. Sequel Mechanism. Now, how many spots does the Sequel Mechanism get?
Is this its first week on the wheel?
It will be.
I think one. I think it goes 0-1-2 only.
My idea is if it's something that leads to another mechanism, it should be more than one spot.
All right, so two spots on the wheel for the sequel mechanism.
Okay, and is that available for this week? We talked about it last week. We just did not figure. We ultimately this week decided what the sequel mechanism would be, but we decided that it was going to be on the wheel this week.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's fine. It gets play. Two spots now.
It's in play. Two beloved.
Wait, can I say? I did last week. I was trying to think of the third thing that belonged on the sequels wheel, and I thought of it just now.
What was it?
I think it was parts 4 through 6 of the Star Wars movie.
Mm. Well, we talked about parts 4 through 6 already.
Oh, sorry. Parts 1 through 3. That's confusing. Yeah. Star Wars guys.
I would say I'm not as excited to.
Okay.
Do
so
it
let's not bother
the Star Wars prequels. The people, they are not too beloved.
All right. Maybe like when Star Wars coming out this holiday season,
December. Yeah.
So maybe people will be into Star Wars more in 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe we could do like 7 and 8 getting you ready for 9.
Mm hmm.
Okay.
Oh, but then I wouldn't know what happens in 1 to 3.
I guess so. But nobody really cares about.
Okay, fine.
You could do that in like 35 seconds.
But I want to know more about what's his name? Jar Jar.
Yeah. There's not that much to know.
Okay.
To be honest. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Akiva, also, just to go back to the sequel mechanism for a moment. So episode number 21 was the Rehapsular. Is that back on the wheel?
I don't think so. Okay. I don't think just yet.
Okay. Just to look ahead, episode 22, it was all about March 11th, 1995. I don't think that that's going back into the dice. And then Jeopardy was episode 23. And then Millennial Boot Camp is episode 24. So some interesting calls to make in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
Okay. Then Two Beloved.
Mm-hmm.
Final Four, not eligible for this week.
We need I know people, you know, we just did discuss the guest thing, but do we need a guest for Two Beloved?
Do we need a guest?
I don't think we do, right?
Beloved.
I think we just need people to submit things that are Two Beloved and we'll just, you know, we'll tear them down to size.
Okay, that's fine. I would be fine if we had a beloved boss who was in charge of everything that was going to be going into the beloved basket.
Yeah, but they don't have to be on the show in theory, right?
They don't have to be on the show. It would be helpful if we had somebody, but who's your intern?
Ben.
Intern Ben.
He's a personally unpaid personal assistant, I like to say. Okay. But yeah.
Does he help you with things besides Renap?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you think 32 Fans gets interns? I don't think so.
Yeah. I want to add a personal assistant.
All right, so then people write in, and if you want to be Rob's personal assistant, I mean,
but for this show? No, for real life.
Oh, like an unpaid personal assistant.
Here's the problem that I have, Akiva. So you know, that for years, like, you know, I'm like Murphy Brown. I can't find somebody to, you know, work with me for, you know, either I have somebody that I wouldn't necessarily want them in all aspects of my personal life, or
right.
That they're a complete stranger. They know nothing and are completely disinterested. So it's hard for me to find somebody.
You know, someone who's familiar with what you do, but also doesn't care about it. That's really what you need.
Not that they don't care about it, but they're not like, basically I'm trying to find somebody who's not too hot and not too cold. And
got it. That's tricky.
And is local. That's what I'm looking for. So I'm sort of like afraid to like, I've gone on like, different, like Craigslist and stuff like that to look for people, but you know, I just get inundated with people who like have no idea about what's a podcast, what is it that you do? And then, I don't want somebody who necessarily is super close to then starts, a Reddit thread in the Survivor Reddit of like, I'm Rob Sesternino's assistant, ask me anything. So
right,
I don't necessarily I struggle with this.
Interesting. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, other than find a stranger, but then like make them listen to like 2,000 hours of your podcasting. Make them a super fan, but someone who's like not in the community.
Yeah, we'll see. If people know somebody who's in the Los Angeles area who might be good, send me a resume.
But this is a paid job, unlike the Akiva's.
Right, right, right. I need somebody to like, hey, there's people are yelling at you in your email for the last 5 days, and we need to work on this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So, all right. Let's go ahead and open up the wheel. All right. Here we go. And boy, it is a jam-packed wheel right now. A ton of ideas, no major spots on the wheel. Akiva, let's see what comes up in 2 weeks for Robin Akiva Need a Podcast, episode number 32. Round and round she goes.
So you can use a veto, maybe?
Oh, yeah. Could have a veto, potentially, in the cards. Okay. Akiva, I don't think the veto is going to come up. And I think that this is going to be a good episode for 2 weeks from now. The wheel has given us total idea request live.
Oh, love it.
Okay. Let's talk about some parameters here. And then let's see if we can also figure out when we're going to record this episode so we can actually say on the podcast when we will do our total idea request live.
Mm-hmm.
So people can make the time free so that they can be available when we record Total Idea Request Live.
Okay. It's a little tricky because it is Passover weekend.
All right. Well, then
what do you think about Sunday? What do you think about that Sunday?
So this would be on Sunday.
2 weeks from tomorrow.
Sunday the 28th. We could do that. That's possible. Wednesday. Let's do the Sunday.
Wednesday. Yeah. Wednesday's my other option, but I do think, you know, this, who knows how long this will take and you're busy on Wednesday.
Yeah. Let's do the Sunday and then we will, you know, I got to, you know, steer clear of Game of Thrones. But if it was like sort of like in the first part of Sunday, the 28th, figure around like 1:30 Eastern. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Perfect.
So let's punch that in. And then we won't give out the phone number right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
But can we tell them where the phone number will be though?
Okay. What did we say? Well, we're going to tweet it, right?
Well, we had a big debate, a very stupid debate. And basically my way was I put it in, let's say, the wheel list, robiswebsite.com/wheel list.
Yeah.
I put the phone number there.
Okay.
What if you tweet out
the phone number? Is that if you just put out a phone number randomly on Twitter, then, and you will put that phone number out on Sunday morning.
Okay.
I'll give it out in the Rob is a Podcast patron group also.
Fine. Okay. I think that's a good compromise, but we won't put that out till Sunday morning.
Yeah. So total idea.
But we have to tell people what they're calling in for also while we're here.
Yes. Okay. So they're coming in to give us, to pitch us on ideas for the wheel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And do we have to, are we obligated to take an idea like we were with the idea bracket?
I think that we have to come out of the podcast with two ideas.
Wow. That is a lot of pressure.
We both have to, at least, there's no maximum, but we both have to say yes to something.
That's crazy because I don't know. All right. Well, I guess we have vetoes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost May.
Okay. We both have to say yes to at least one thing. Well, now,
but
we both need to say yes to the idea. So, so I think we need to agree to two ideas.
Okay, fine.
And people are getting how much time on the clock?
You had said a very specific amount of time last time. I think it was like 2 minutes, 30 seconds, but we each get like a couple extended calls or something like that. We could work out the logistics off here also.
All right. So let's say, just to give people, get set with your pitch, okay? You come on and you could be like, oh my God, Akiva, you really pissed me off that back on episode number 16, you said something that was, that really made me mad. Like, all right, well, okay, you got 80 seconds left.
Wait, so they are allowed to do that? We can't just hang up on them if they're being boring or criticizing me?
If they are going to run out the clock, they can have their 2 minutes, but then
so they could do their 2.5 minutes and use it in whatever way they want. They don't even have to pitch us an idea.
They don't necessarily need to pitch us an idea, but we're not going to keep going unless it's an idea. I think it should be 2 minutes and maybe have our extended call be a little bit longer.
Okay, fine. Fair.
How many extended calls do we get?
I feel like we could play with that as I think anybody could be extended. We like infinite. I just think like we're only going to do it if it's really interesting.
I don't know if
we should box ourselves in.
I think the extend a call is our friend because I think we want to cover a lot of ground. And if we have unlimited extend a call, then a person becomes insulted. Akiva, right, okay, why didn't you use an extend a call on me? You had unlimited extend a call.
The great thing about this podcast is so much of it is just upsetting the people who like the show by turning down their ideas.
Right.
Or knocking them.
Right. So I think we each get 3 1-minute extended calls.
Okay, fine. What about like one long one? Like, let's say if someone interesting calls and we want to ask them.
If you and I agree, we can use our 2-minute extended call. We have one.
Well, you know, we can't get like one like super extended call if we really like somebody. Like, what if like Sean the mailman? We like him. He calls up. He's got some interesting stories about life on the road. I feel like I want to talk to him for a few minutes.
The pressure of that he needs to get his idea out fast is our friend in this episode.
Yeah, so have your idea sort of fully formed and
that's
thought out
right,
before
because
you
you've
call
only
us.
Got 2 minutes, and Akiva and I only have so many extend the calls, and then we're just gonna abruptly hang up.
I like how we always make things so complicated on this show.
Well, look, we
extend the calls.
Need order.
Yeah,
we gotta.
All right, so
gotta.
But I'm excited. Total Idea Request Live.
Total Idea Request Live. What ideas do the listeners have with 2 weeks to come up with ideas?
Mm-hmm.
We will patch them through. They will be on audio only. We'll give you a phone number.
Should listeners have like, you know, sometimes like the regular callers to WFAN, the sports radio show we both grew up listening to. Like there's a secret number. Should extra, like, you know, like frequent listeners, should they have a secret number to call in that gets them straight through?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Like what about Shut Up Tim? He doesn't get a pass.
That's how we got in trouble the last time we called the listeners. People said you played favorites.
Yeah, well, that was random. That was literally random.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're not that. Look, you want to get in. That's, you know, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
What happens if somebody calls, just logistically, what happens if somebody calls and we're on the call with somebody else?
We pick up the numbers. It's not like that.
Okay,
we have
like,
one
can we
phone.
Call people back or no?
No, they're on
hold. Is
they'll
it
be
like
on
a
hold.
Holding system?
It's
they're
like
on hold.
Conference
okay,
call.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
It's not like we have like the bat
but
phone.
It's also like, you know, one of these like be the seventh caller to win Backstreet Boys tickets. It's like you can't call in at like noon and just be on hold for an hour and a half. We'll boot those people.
Why?
Like it's got to be like when we say like now. Oh, you want people to be on hold beforehand?
Yeah, why would you make it so complicated?
I don't know. I thought that's what we do.
We're not trying to give away concert tickets. We just want people to be on the line when we get to them.
What if zero people call?
If zero people call, then you and I will the Jets schedule be out by then?
Yes. Yes. It should be out in a few days.
All right.
Yeah.
Then we'll go through the Jets schedule and do wins, losses for the 2019.
Okay.
So then people will just call up to beg us to not do that.
Well, they won't be listening live unless you
if
want to go
live. If they're
on
hold,
the
they'll be
schedule.
Listening live.
Okay. I got it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There you go. All right. Akiva, anything else? Reviews?
Yeah, we could do some iTunes reviews.
iTunes reviews. Of what's of
are you gonna miss me? We're not gonna speak now for over 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean we could have spoke if you were wanted to be on a Survivor podcast.
Is that this week?
I mean, I guess it could have been.
Yeah, but that wasn't for this week anyway.
Yeah, well, we could have scheduled it this week. I told my wife about Minnesota,
and what'd she say?
I think she thinks I was joking.
Because it's involving you leaving the house?
Yeah. It was just so random and bizarre to her that I don't think that she thought I was even being serious. Like, she didn't...
Do you think she will have a problem with it, though?
Yes.
You think you're not going to be allowed to go?
I don't know about... I mean, Akiva.
Just to remind listeners,
that I might choose to go.
I hear you. Just to remind anyone who doesn't know what we're talking about, Alex Chester, myself, Rob, and potentially any listener to 32 Fans or to this show, we may be doing a 2-day, 1-night trip to Minnesota to go to some Mets Twins game. Should we go to the Mall of America also, like in the morning? I was just thinking, like, what is there to do in Minnesota?
Well, I think there's nothing to do there except
walk around and eat stuff.
Oh, I can't talk about eating stuff. Sorry.
So I don't want to talk about that or podcast about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's nothing to do in the Mall of America besides eat stuff.
Is there a roller coaster? I mean, I don't know. Do they have anything that I would like there?
In the mall, a roller coaster?
Yeah, I think so.
I guess they like a Ferris wheel.
I think it's a roller coaster.
Do you like Ferris wheels?
Not really.
I don't like heights. How's that guy going to go to freaking Hawaii? He doesn't like heights. I feel like all the honeymoon Hawaii stuff is like you and your spouse like just going to some volcano and like it's all heights. That whole thing is heights.
Yeah,
he's gonna be miserable. And then Samantha, his fiance, gonna realize he's kind of like a weenie, and that might be it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Kevin, this whole thing, we might save your marriage. Don't go to Hawaii.
Yeah, see, he just wants to have a boring honeymoon and then blame it on us. Like, oh, I would have taken you to all the fun stuff, but Robin Akiva said that we had to...
What a recipe for disaster.
You know, watch the in-room movies.
If a listener would allow us to pick their honeymoon spot, like full, give us full responsibility, would you put that on the wheel?
Is it a bracket?
Whatever. No, well, it's not bracket season. We would have to. They'd have to wait to get married till March 2020.
I don't know. If we were like ruining a guy's bachelor party, I would put on the wheel. But
can you imagine like eight bros just like furious because we made them go to the opera for their bachelor party?
Like Robin Akiva, you can pick whatever I do for my bachelor party.
What would you have them do if we could? If we had some guy and his buddies like going on a bachelor party, I mean, what would we?
Well, if you really wanted to make it the worst bachelor party ever, you could send them to Disney World.
Oh boy!
That would be bad. Yeah,
all time, literally bottom of the barrel. Or you could invite both of us.
Yeah.
I feel like that would. Okay. Probably spoiler.
All right, let's hear these reviews quick. There's definitely a roller coaster at the Mall of America.
All right.
Okay.
So we'll go, but I don't like roller coasters. I'm kind of like afraid.
Yeah,
I only go on roller
saying.
Coasters.
Okay. All right. Katie's mom says, love it. I'm currently binge listening from the beginning. I'm on episode 14. This is the perfect podcast for my long, tedious warehouse job. I'll be very sad when I'm caught up and I have to wait a week in between episodes. There you go.
Okay. Yeah, don't catch up. But can I tell you that I've gotten a couple messages recently? Hey, I'm listening to your Seinfeld podcast. I'm almost done. You guys should do another podcast after Seinfeld.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do people like us but not know? And I'm like, ooh, I told one guy, like, ooh, boy, I got an exciting new. I got some exciting news for you. And so then he looked it up. He's like, well, I don't understand what the idea is.
Yeah.
And then I had to explain the whole wheel thing.
All right. Is Robin and Kevin Need a Podcast the most successful podcast spinoff of all time?
I don't like what's what are other like I can't think of a second
has
podcast
it eclipsed
spinoff.
The original
has it eclipsed. I mean, it's much more popular than the Seinfeld show.
Yeah, so,
but I would ask this actually: the diehard Seinfeld people, the people who like came to New York and you know like came from far away. I feel like if you put a gun to their head, which I don't know why we do that to ours like super fans, I have a feeling they might like Seinfeld. Better than us, but that might also be they're probably huge Seinfeld heads.
Maybe.
Like of the show also.
Maybe.
I would like to know, like, does like Dan the Benefactor, do you think he likes Renat better or do you think he likes Seinfeld better?
Seinfeld
or Sean
better,
Falconer?
Yeah.
I think those people like Seinfeld better.
I do like calling this podcast a spinoff.
I mean, so you ask if it's the best spinoff podcast of all time. I just can't think of another one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Then blink twice if you're being held against your will. 5 stars. Steve from the Bay. It's clear at this point, Rob is being held against his will in a prison of his own making. Rob, this is The Bad Place.
Ah.
It's also my current favorite podcast. That's probably accurate.
Yeah, that's fair. This is The Bad Place.
Yeah.
By the way, you could do much worse for The Bad Place than that.
More medium place, yeah. And then finally, I don't know if we read this one last time. This podcast, 5 stars by Aaron Dow. I like it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. Okay. 174 5-star reviews, 2 4-star reviews, 1 3-star review, 2 2-star reviews, and 2 1-star reviews.
The 3-star reviews are confusing. That's like such a lukewarm take. I feel like you don't even listen to the show if you have takes like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. There you go, Akiva. That is Robin Akiva Need a Podcast, episode number 31, the Mike Piazza episode of Robin Akiva Need a Podcast. But how was this episode like Mike Piazza in any way?
We're juicing.
Is that what?
we have back acne.
Yeah. Archie did get, clocked across the head with a frying pan with a sweet stroke.
By the way, Archie was really juicing. I mean, he is so jacked, he's got to be on some sort of steroid, right?
I don't know. I thought he was more ripped than jacked.
Yeah, more ripped than jacked. Is there a difference between ripped and jacked? I wouldn't know.
I think
neither.
That if you're jacked, you just have like muscles on top of muscles. I think if you're mm-hmm. ripped, I think you're like really lean.
Okay, so it's easier to get ripped than jacked.
I don't know. It depends who you ask. Might be easier to get jacked.
I don't know. I'll never be either.
Like, I think if you just eat and lift, you could be jacked. I think it is tougher to be ripped.
I like food too much. I know you don't want to talk about it.
So you should just get jacked.
So you get jacked and eat. Like, what would I do? So I just like eat steaks all day and then I'm jacked? I don't know how that works.
Well, you have to lift heavy weights also.
I'm not willing. I'm just totally unwilling to do that.
Okay. So I guess that's it. All right. 32 fans listen to Chester's parenting stories in an NBA preview. And then we will be back in 2 weeks with our Total Idea Request Live. And we're going to do it on the last Sunday in April, coming up in 2 weeks time on April 28th. If you want to call in, you can do it at 1:30 p.m. Eastern time. Akiva, anything else?
No, that's it. Thanks for listening.
Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Special thanks to our friends over at True Car for sponsoring this episode of Rob as a Podcast. Every car comes with its share of stories. That ding in your bumper when you nervously picked up your first date, that luxury package you got after a big promotion, or the mileage you save by riding your bike all summer long. While you can't put a price tag on your stories now with True Car, you can at least find out what your car is worth when it's time to sell it or trade it in. Just go to True Car and simply enter your license plate number and watch how your car's details pop up. Then answer a few questions. Navigation and moonroof, watch as they bump up your car's value. High mileage, you already knew it was going to cost you, but now you'll know how much it's going to ding your wallet so you can plan ahead. And once you're finished, you'll get a True Cash offer sent in minutes, which you can send to a local certified dealer to cash out or to trade in. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out True Car today. True Cash offer not available in all areas.